The Quality News Network. President Bush wants to give telecommunications companies immunity in the new eavesdropping law. The legislation would allow the National Security Agency to listen in to phone conversations without warrants. The multinational force in Iraq will be down to 7,000 troops, excluding American forces. That is down from the once 50,000-member large coalition. U.S. forces in Iraq are at a peak surge high of 168,000 forces currently. In Pakistan, as many as 250 people have been killed in recent fighting near the Afghan border. The Pakistani army halted attacks today so that local residents could attend funerals. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas wants a future independent state to have pre-1967 borders. He is also calling for a complete Israeli withdrawal from the territories it captured four decades ago. The demands come in preparation for a U.S.-hosted Middle East peace conference next month.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! For good or ill, someday we will be doing video here, and you'll get to see the spit take that I just did. Honest to Pete. I guess it's my fault for not noticing that the QNN Top of the Hour news downloaded a little quick-like. But honest... Yeah, there I am with a mouth full of Cheez-Its. You know, a little snack before the show. Yeah, I know, processed foods. Bob, you need to be eating the raw broccoli. I know. But, you know, just sitting there snacking, and all of a sudden I hear my intro music going because, you know, the QNN news was 45 seconds long. And I was trying to get a mouthful of Cheez-Its because, you know what, you cannot broadcast with a mouthful of crackers. You just can't. You can't whistle and you can't broadcast. Now, I know we've had several occasions where we've heard... The filthy, vile pig that SOB Flush Flimball with a mouthful of whatever, you know, snorfling at the trough. My friends, well, I try not to do that. But, you know, it's just the hazard of being a professional internet broadcaster that, you know, when the intro runs, you got to do the show, sunshine. You know, the show must go on. Curtains up. Start talking. So that's what that was. Jesus, I hope the news is more than 25 seconds long next hour. I don't mind filibobstering for three solid hours, but, you know, I like getting a little break. I'm sure it was just some errant recording error there at Quality News Network Central. You'll have that sometimes. These things happen. So, you know, deal with it. Meanwhile, you know, where do we go this evening? Oh, well, I think Mark mentioned one. Yeah, he did at the top of the show. He mentioned one particular story that, Lord God, Billy Bob. I mean, some of this stuff you just can't make up. I mean, honestly. You know the story I'm talking about, the pastor of the Thorington Road Baptist Church, sent along to me by, among other things, our good, not things, among other people, our good friend Jay out in Arizona, and Gene, our news ninja, caught it as well. Apparently the story dates back to June of 2007. June of this year, late June. Oddly enough, I think, well, never mind. That's just too much detail. But the pastor of the Thorington Road Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, because, well, I mean, you know why we're leading with a story like this, right? I mean, you know, after all, you know, it's Wednesday.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn straight, it's prayer meeting, you know that. And so we have to start off with a story of the religious right wing. And that story, of course, is the story of the Reverend Gary Aldridge, graduate of the Liberty University, where they were perfecting the concept of education according to the strictures laid down by the Reverend Jerry Falwell, who said he looked to the day when the government was out of the education business and education would be back in the hands of religion where it belonged. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Put your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the spirit flowing through you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, and amen. So, the guy graduated from Falwell University, the so-called Liberty University, the Reverend Gary Aldridge. He worked for Liberty University for a while. He was an associate of Jerry Falwell's. And back last late June, he was found stone dead at his home in Montgomery. And the circumstances were less than... Oh, well, never mind what they were less than. They were, in fact, salacious. Because the Reverend Gary Aldridge was a great proponent of traditional family values. Hallelujah, praise Jesus, traditional family values. He opposed gay marriage. Huh? Believed it was a sickness. And he was found by himself. Well, you know, let's not trust me to do this. Let's use the words instead of the medical examiner there in Alabama, in Montgomery, Alabama. Evidence of injury, page 2, name, Gary Michael Aldridge. The decedent is clothed in a diving wetsuit, a face mask which has a single vent for breathing, a rubberized head mask having an opening for the mouth and the eyes, a second rubberized suit with suspenders, rubberized male underwear, hands and feet have diving gloves and slippers. There are numerous straps and cords restraining the decedent. There is a leather belt about the midriff. There is a series of ligatures extending from the hands to the feet. The hands are bound behind the back. The feet are tied to the hands. There are nylon ligatures holding these in place with leather straps about the wrists and ankles. You getting the picture? There are plastic cords also tied about the hands and feet with a single plastic cord extending up to the head and surrounding the lower neck. Around these parts here in the hills, we call that hog tied. And the final word, there is a dildo in the anus covered with a condom. The Right Reverend Gary Michael Aldridge. I don't guess you'd say he was caught with his pants down. His pants were up, with things inside them. Now, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is, where in the sweet name of God did he get a dildo, seeing as how they're not legal for purchase in the state of Alabama? Now it all makes so much more sense why Alabama would have a ban on the sale of sex toys. Because if they're legally available in Alabama, all the Baptist ministers will start dropping dead. Imagine that. How many times did the Reverend Gary Aldridge have a meeting, a staff meeting, no, don't say staff, Bob, with Reverend Falwell, while at the same time, back in some little dark and dim and severely, sadly repressed corner of his mind, he was dreaming of the fun that he could have with his rubber clothing. Cause of death, autoerotic asphyxiation. One of the sadder parts of this, you know, very... When you see an autopsy report, they're very sterile, I suppose you would say. And in that sort of sear sterility, the sort of Joe Friday, just the facts, ma'am, approach of an autopsy report, lies heartbreak. Clothing, personal effects. The decedent was received wearing two wetsuits, one scuba diving mask, one pair of diving gloves, one pair of slippers, one pair of rubber underwear, two ties, five belts, 11 straps. Personal effects, one yellow metal ring, intact on left ring finger, one dildo. And in that almost haiku-like statement is all the heartbreak in the world. At the time of this event, his wife and child were visiting a sick relative in North Carolina. And they had left Reverend Aldridge alone, and Reverend Aldridge knew that he was going to be alone, and since he knew there was no chance of being caught, he engaged his libido in this activity that he had been taught from time immemorial was dirty, Gary, dirty. That's a dirty thing you're doing, Gary. Don't ever let me catch you doing that again, Gary. Dirty, dirty, dirty. Dirty boy, dirty. You dirty, nasty boy. You don't put anything there. You filthy, filthy, ungodly boy! Don't you know Jesus is watching you? And for once, he thought maybe Jesus wasn't watching. For once, he thought he could finally have the sexual release that he so desperately craved, because from time immemorial it had been driven into him that his own body was dirty, Gary, dirty. You dirty thing, you nasty thing, you filthy thing. Satan makes you want to do that. This is the sickness of the right wing. This is the sadness of the right wing. This is the tragedy of the right wing. Down in Gulf Breeze, Florida, three kids and a wife are still scratching their heads and questioning their own very existence, and the man that they thought they loved, who was their father, who turned out to be a right-wing authoritarian federal prosecutor, law and order man, arrested coming off a plane in Michigan with a dolly and a tube of Vaseline intended for his sexual encounter with a 5-year-old girl. He's dead now. He's committed suicide. In Montgomery, Alabama, now this happened in June, for some reason or another, it's just now breaking. It's just now hitting the media. The good people of Montgomery have done everything in their power to keep this under the radar. We don't air our dirty laundry or our dirty wetsuits in public, mind you. In Montgomery, Alabama, a woman and her child wonder now about Daddy. Did Daddy love Jesus like he said he did? How can you love Jesus when you put one of those there? Why did Daddy have to choke himself to achieve sexual release? Why was Daddy doing dirty things, Mommy? Well, it was because the devil got him, honey. Does that mean Daddy's in hell, Mommy? I don't know, honey. We're Baptists. We believe once saved, always saved. So as long as he had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it didn't matter what he put where he put it, or what he was wearing while he did. Daddy didn't really mean to commit suicide. Daddy was just trying to get off. In the immortal words of the Wicked Witch of the West, what a world, what a world, what a world. Terribly easy to have a lot of fun with a story like this. And you know what? The right-wing religion industry earns it every day, telling us how we should live, defining in us what is dirty. Telling two men who love each other dearly and have never worn a wetsuit that they can't have a warm, loving, and lasting relationship while at the same time their very own die terrified and alone with things somewhere in a state where you can't buy those things and you have to secretly order them online. God Almighty, can you only imagine what this man's computer looks like? Bet they never got around to looking at that. Because no matter what the fundies say, and there's a website out there dedicated to, it's a message board dedicated to, like, I guess, alumni of Liberty University. He was murdered! I believe he was murdered. Murdered. Of course, the autopsy report says he was no foul play. Murdered. He wouldn't do that to himself. Why am I doing Bill Clinton? He was murdered. Nah, Sunshine, I'm sorry. He was really, really not murdered. He was accidentally killed. Oh, God. Oh, God. And, well, let's see here, a few other things about the autopsy report that probably bear notice, or bear at least a bit of attention. It was largely unremarkable. The prostate gland displays areas of focal hemorrhage on its posterior surface. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. But, you know, this is what the right-wing fundamentalism industry can expect. The body is that of a white male consistent with the given age of 41 years. Another story I read said he was 51. The front cover says he's 51 years. It's easy, you know, it's very easy to point it. Well, you know, I remember the hell that I took for doing the story about the Baptist minister who, like a moron, climbed into the baptistry in his church and electrocuted himself with his wireless mic. Bob, you're insensitive. Those people are suffering. Yes, they are. But it's also fair to ask about the other people that these have helped suffer. How many people did Gary Aldridge make suffer, declaring that he understood the intent and the desires of Almighty God, and that being gay was a sin, or being transgendered was a sin, or being an atheist was a sin? Remember, these people don't draw the line at sex. They're ready to sit and ready and willing to sit in judgment of you, no matter who you are and no matter what it is you do. These people are ready to sit in judgment of you. I grew up with it, and it stings to this day. My father despised the right-wing religion industry, despised fundamentalism, despised fundamentalists. And yet, at his funeral, I had to listen to someone ask, "Did he know my Jesus?" And I'm still pissed off. And I'll stay that way. Thank you very much. I intend to stay that way. So that's where we start. God knows it's not where we finish. God knows there's plenty more to do, plenty more to talk about. Jewish people? People of the Jewish faith? Belief system? Ethnicity? You're imperfect. Yes, you are. You certainly are. You are imperfect. How do I know? Ann Coulter told me so. No kidding. I don't like giving this hateful thing free publicity. But, you know, she, for some reason or another, she's back up out of the crypt. And she is making declarations on places like Fox. And understand, these words like these that you are about to hear are the kinds of words that, for all intents and purposes, are the foundations of ovens. Really. Seriously. Here we go. She was on CNBC's The Big Idea with Danny Deutsch, the host. It was October 8th. It was 2 days ago. Why CNBC would want this vile harridan on, I don't know. And Donnie Deutsch asks her a question about her perfect world. Check it out. Okay, where's the audio? Dadgummit. Am I doing this wrong? No. We're going to make this happen yet. Sorry. You know, this is what happens when you don't have a producer. Not that I'm gooning on Agnes or anything. Oh, now I've got the little hourglass. Next thing I know, this thing will reset itself. So, the question is put to her. Oh, for pity's sake. I'm sorry, this just chaps my butt. The question was put to her, if you had your way and your dreams, which are genuine, why would you say that, which are genuine, came true, what would this country look like? What would this country look like? And Ann Coulter shoots back.
Having to do with immigration, having to do with women's, with abortion. Having, what would this country look like?
It would look like...
See, it takes her a while because this is all calculated. This is shtick. She has to make sure that she's going to say the most outrageous thing she possibly can. And she does.
Like New York City during the Republican National Convention. In fact, that's what I think heaven's going to look like.
And what did that look like?
happy, joyful Republicans in the greatest city in the world.
No, but are you, I'm talking about this country. This, you don't want to make this country... It's not about Republicans. I'm saying, what would the fabric of this country look like? Forget that the Republicans would...
Well, everyone would root for America. The Democratic Party would look like Joe Lieberman. The Republican Party would look like Duncan Hunter.
No, I don't want to... I'm not talking about politically the landscape. What would our... Would we be safer? Would people be happier?
We'd be a lot safer.
Would there be more tolerance? Would there be... would women be happier? Would the races get along better? The Ann Coulter subscription. Prescription. What? Tell me what would be different in our fabric of country.
Well, all of those things.
I could give an argument that there would be more divisiveness, that there would be more hate. There would be a bigger difference between the rich and the poor, a lot of other... Tell me why would this be a better world? I'm going to give you, say,
well,
this is your show.
Okay, take the Republican National Convention. And people were happy, they're Christian, they're tolerant, they defend America.
How about that? There are no Jewish Republicans. None. Zero. They're happy, they're Christian, they're tolerant. There are no agnostic Republicans. There are no Muslim Republicans. There are no Buddhist, Jainist, Hindu Republicans. No Sikh Republicans. They're happy, they're tolerant, and they're tolerant because there's nothing but them.
Could they?
Christian, so we should be Christian? Would it be better if we were all Christian?
Yes.
We should all be Christian.
Yes. Would you like to come to church with me, Donnie?
So I should not be a Jew, I should be a Christian, and this would be a better
place. Well, you could be a practicing Jew, but you're not.
Okay, I actually am. That's not true. I really am. But so we would be better if there were no Jews,
well,
no Buddhists.
Well, whenever I'm harangued by...
You can't believe that.
You know, liberals on diversity. No, it's true. I give all these speeches at mega churches across America, and the one thing that's really striking about it is how utterly, completely diverse they are and completely unselfconsciously. I mean, you walk past a mixed-race couple in New York and it's like they have a chip on their shoulder. They're just waiting for somebody to say something as if anybody would.
I don't agree with that.
What? Oh, dear. Agnes, did you put that? Those weren't ordinary mushrooms on the spaghetti sauce, were they, Agnes? What? I give all these speeches to all these mega churches, followers of Christ Jesus are paying Ann Coulter? Well, I'm not surprised. You know, I came to the parting of the ways with the Southern Baptist Church when my so-called home church in Alabama gave $20,000 to Oliver North to come and witness to him.
And
maybe you have the chip looking at them. I see a lot of interracial couples, and I don't see any more or less chips there either way.
No, there was an entire Seinfeld episode about Elaine and her boyfriend dating because they wanted to be a mixed race couple. So you're lying.
You're lying?
It's a Seinfeld episode. Okay.
But yeah, I think that's reflective of what's going on in the culture. But it is completely striking that at these huge mega churches,
Wait a minute. Just a darn minute. Her view of the reality of New York City is defined and predicated upon an episode of Seinfeld? Huh? Marbled rye bread and stopping short and, golf balls stuck in the blowholes of whales and all the ridiculous, loopy, loony stuff that went on that arguably funny show. I know people that hate it still.
I actually am. That's not true. I really am. But so we would be better if we were people were no Jews.
Well,
no Buddhists,
whenever I'm harangued by
that's you can't believe that.
You know, liberals on diversity. No, it's true. I give all these speeches at mega churches across America, and the one thing that's really striking about it is how utterly, completely diverse they are, and completely unselfconsciously. I mean, you walk past a mixed race.
They're utterly and completely diverse and self-conscious about it. I mean, there's a white couple and a white couple over there, a white and a white, and there's another white couple over there, and there's a white couple over here. They're just so white and so tolerant of each other being white.
Couple in New York, and it's like they have a chip on their shoulder, just waiting for somebody to say something as if anybody
that.
Would.
I don't agree with that. Really.
And
maybe you have the chip looking at them. I don't. I see a lot of interracial couples, and I don't see any more or less chips there either way.
No. There was an entire Seinfeld episode about Elaine and her boyfriend dating because they wanted to be a mixed race couple. So you're lying.
How does she get away with that? Just looking at the host across the table and calling him a liar? You know, I think I've just figured out why there are no major media empires in the state of West Virginia, because we're one of the last few states that still has an anti-dueling statute on the book that defines something as fighting words. And that statute says, you know, because dueling all started because you had to slap somebody in the face with the glove, and then you went out with the swords or the pistols and 20 paces and Bugs Bunny and standing by one, two, three, you know, and never marches and turns around and blows away Elmer Fudd. But it says that there are some words out there that are so vile and so hateful that the use of them in otherwise civilized discourse is the equivalent of slapping somebody in the face or a physical blow. And that after they have said them, you can use the fighting word statute as a defense. And you can say, well, you know, they said that, fill in the blanks. And you can punch their lights out and use fighting words as a defense. I think it's still on the books here. And that's why we don't have any major media empires in West Virginia. Because if that was taking place in West Virginia, and you're lying, you could reach across the table and just slap the snot out of her. And it would be over once and for all. She called, and she, I want him arrested! And, you know, you'd have the Trump, she called me a liar on national TV right here in West Virginia, and I reached across and I punched her face in. You know, it's an affirmative defense, and the judge would have to go, boom, you're free to go.
So, okay.
But, you know, I think that's reflective of what's going on in the culture, but it is completely striking that at these huge mega churches, the idea that, you know, the more Christian you are, the less tolerant you would be.
No, it isn't. But you said we should just throw Judaism away and we should all be Christians then. Or,
yeah.
Really?
Well, it's a lot easier. So it's kind of a fast track.
Just throw Judaism away and all be Christians. Now, I don't care what you believe. And there's a bunch of malarkey in Judaism. There's a bunch of malarkey in Christianity. There's malarkey in Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, Shintoism, Confucianism, Hinduism, the Native American religions. There's a lot of malarkey in it. There's a lot of malarkey in the Druidism or the ancient Scandinavian isms. Malarkey, malarkey, malarkey. It's all religion. You know, religion is, by definition, got a lot of magical malarkey in it. You know, stuff that just ain't so, but we'll believe it in our own little minds and pretend that it is. But I don't care what people believe. But when she reaches across, says, well, yeah, basically, you should just get rid of Judaism, and, you know, it's a fast track. Oh, Lord, so were the ovens, Ann, so were the ovens. It's a fast track to paradise. That's what it was. They were just, the Nazis weren't killing 6 million Jews. They were sending 6 million Jews to heaven. That's right.
Really?
You don't read. You have to obey.
You can't possibly believe that. You can't possibly. You're too educated. You can't. Are you like my friend?
Do you know what Christianity is? See, we believe your religion, but you have to obey.
No.
But we have the fast track program.
You
have to obey? Who is her minister? It's been reported that she attends some Presbyterian church in New York City. Now, we've had a perfectly sane Presbyterian minister on this program, and I don't think he would endorse that. No.
Well, put you with the head of Iran. I mean, come on, you can't believe that.
The head of Iran is not a Christian.
No, but that's why Israel. That's why Israel left the earth. I mean, no Jews?
No, we just want Jews to be perfected as they.
Won't really save you?
Yeah, no, that's what Christianity is. We believe the Old Testament, but ours is more like Federal Express. You have to obey laws.
We know we're all sinners. When you say something absurd like that, there's no.
What's absurd?
Jews are going to be perfected. I'm going to go off and try and perfect myself. Ann Coulter, author.
So Jews are perfected when they become Christians. Now, that runs in direct conflict with that bumper sticker that I see on a lot of fundamentalist cars, you know, the one with the Jesus fish, that has a bumper sticker that says, "Not perfect, just forgiven." We want the Jews to be perfected. Well, therefore, if the Jews are perfected by becoming Christian, Christians are perfect, right?
If Democrats had any brains, they'd be Republicans, and if Ann Coulter had any brains, she would not say Jews need to be perfected. I'm offended by that personally. And when we have more Big Idea, when we come back.
Welcome back to the Big Idea Break. Ann said she wanted to explain her last comment, so I'm going to give her a chance. So you don't think that was offensive?
Why? Why let her explain her comment? Her comment stands. She meant to say it. She sits there and she takes long pauses before she says things, for the love of God. And you let her weasel out? You're going to let her explain what she meant? No, you go to break, you throw her scrawny ass off the set, and you come back, and if you have to, you run the big test pattern picture with the Indian chief at the top, and the tone that goes, boop, if you can't ad-lib, Donnie. Surely to God you can ad-lib a little bit. You can ad-lib until the next segment comes up. God, this show's called The Big Idea? Who had the big idea of letting Ann Coulter on the program? Who called Donnie Schechter and said, Donnie Deutsch. Who called Donnie Deutsch and said, you know, here, I got a big idea. You're going to have Ann Coulter on the program. And he went, oh, cool. They have her on there to say this crap. And then they have the gall to sit there and act offended. Ann Coulter's an oven tender. Doesn't matter who she's putting in it, liberals, Democrats, Muslims, Jews, anybody except Lily White and Christian. Wonder what she'd think of the Reverend Gary Aldridge. Wonder if he was perfected. He had the fast track, all right. But this is the woman who said that, you know, the war on Iraq wasn't enough for her. That she wanted us to go and capture Muslim leaders, capture and kill the Muslim leaders and convert all the Muslims to Christianity. You know, arguably at the point of a gun. And she got dumped from a couple of places for that one and played herself up to the martyr as usual.
No, I'm sorry. It is not intended to be. I don't think you should take it that way. But
oh, I don't think you should take it that way. It's your fault, Donnie. Love it when they apologize.
But that is what Christians consider themselves, perfected Jews. We believe the Old Testament. As you know from the Old Testament, God was constantly getting fed up with humans for not being able to...
Huh? Christians. I don't know. Go get her the lace dress and the House of Whoville hat, because I think she just elevated herself to Popette. She's speaking for Christians now. Christians consider themselves to be perfected Jews. Anne, honey, there ain't no Jewish in you. But she's a perfected Jew. I guess she's a member of Christians United for Israel while we're at it. I mean, of course she is. Because that's where this crap comes from, this perfected Jew business and the bumper sticker that says, "My boss is a Jewish carpenter." It's a way of self-redefinition that allows them to escape having to deal with what they really are. Sadducees, Pharisees, oh wait, no, that's probably the wrong analogy too. Hypocrites!
You know, live up to all of the laws. What Christians believe, this is just a statement of what the New Testament is that that's why Christ came and died for our sins. Christians believe the Old Testament. You don't believe our Testament.
You said your exact words were, Jews need to be perfected. Those are words.
No, I'm saying that's what
Christian
what
is. Don't you see how hateful and anti-Semitic?
No.
How do you not see? You're an educated woman.
That isn't hateful at all.
Okay, but that's even a scarier thought. Okay.
That's not hateful at all. That's an even scarier thought. So when will mainstream media start ignoring this piece of trash, Ann Coulter? And yeah, you can chart, I'm guilty as charged, because I'm sitting here running the audio of it. But I know that you're not out there watching CNBC, and I know that you're not going to be motivated to go and buy an Ann Coulter book. This is by way of example. Because we're rather sheltered, I think. I mean, I joked the other night about the sheltered existence that I lead. But we are sheltered. We are good and decent, kind and loving people who gather here at the Horn for dialogue, discussion, conversation. And we are largely like-minded. And we are amazed and astonished and confused by the hatred and vitriol of the right wing that is out there. And we forget that this exists. How many hundreds of thousands, how many millions of people saw that? How many of them were fundamentalists who said, "That's right, Ann, we is perfected Jews. Havana Giggler, Havana Giggler." Wouldn't know the first thing about bitter herbs at a Passover Seder. No idea what happens on Chanukah. But they're perfected Jews. Don't even know what year it is in the Jewish calendar, but they're perfected Jews. Don't know when the Jewish New Year happens, but they're perfected Jews. Don't understand the least little bit about the atonement that takes place on Yom Kippur. But they're perfected Jews. Couldn't make a matzah ball if their lives depended on it, but they're perfected Jews. Believe in international Jewish banking conspiracies, but they're perfected Jews. Makes my little tiny pointed noggin ache. It really, really does. Let's go to the phones. Kevin joins us from D.C. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing again? Ann Coulter is a hypocrite, like you said. She hates everything and as a New Yorker, because you can take the guy out of New York, but you can't take the New York out of a guy.
Oh, yeah.
She is everything that, she's against everything that New York stands for. You know, life may not be perfect, but we're in it together. We live together, we tolerate, we may not like each other, but, you know, we respect everyone's right to exist for the most part.
And including Ann Coulter, because she lives in New York City.
Yeah, she lives in probably the two most liberal parts of the country, New York and South Florida, Miami.
Yeah.
That's New York South. And I just don't get it, you know, it's like... And in both cases, she's surrounded by Jewish people.
Imperfect ones. Imperfect ones, Kevin.
So Christ is imperfect, too.
Well, you know, he wasn't a Christian.
I know.
It makes the heads. But you know, I'm so glad you can talk about things like this, Kevin, because I confess my woeful ignorance. My knowledge of New York City is confined to a bus ride between JFK and LaGuardia. Okay, back when I was a teenager. I'm sorry. I'm just little redneck boy, never been there. But I love the idea. I love the idea.
New York, I admit, New York does have its racial issues, but it's not as, blatant, because Howard Beach was not, and what happened in Crown Heights, 10, 15 years ago wasn't exactly racial tolerance, but, for the most part, it's not Ann Coulter's world. And I don't know if she still hates liberalism, hates Jews, hates homosexuals. Move to Montana with the Unabomber already. Come on. we don't need you. Without her.
There's another psychological side to that argument, though, Kevin, and that is that she doesn't really hate everybody that she says she hates. It's her shtick. Because if she had her way and she got that vision of heaven that she just described, she'd be out of work.
That, too, most conservatives are hypocrites, as you can see. A.K.A., the Baptist minister from Alabama who was into water sports and all that other stuff. And Rush Limbaugh, who says drug addicts should be locked away or executed. And, I can't point it out. And I was even discussing with my wife the other day how conservatives have a lot of self-hatred in them. They really do. Ann Coulter, I think, besides, I guess I would be angry if I had dubious sexual parts like she does, but she has a lot of self-hatred. She really does. And I don't get it. Why are you living in the two most liberal cities in the country, but yet you hate liberals? Again, leave. We don't need you. We don't.
No, we don't. And we don't need people in the rest of it. See, the passing reference, all the focus on this comment is going to be about wanting the Jews to be perfected, and rightly so. But the stuff that went on before that, about how New York is basically best represented by Seinfeld.
Oh, God. That is so far. That is such a little niche, probably that covers a 3-block area.
Nobody lives that way and doesn't go to work.
It's like Friends, all these people live on the Upper West Side, but none of them work more than $10,000 a year.
Yeah.
Those shows were totally unrealistic.
Yeah, but the Friends people lived in a couple of darn nice apartments, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. But the other thing, I also blame Donnie Deutsch, who's another right-winger himself.
Yeah.
And to me, these right-wingers are like the Sith in Star Wars. There can't be too many of them or else they start, violating each other, start trying to kill off each other. And this is what was happening.
But
do you remember the
yeah, but I,
Star Wars?
No, yeah, no, I get the analogy, but what? I think this is for some reason or another somewhere. Things don't just happen on network television, okay, or on cable television. Things are very calculated, and the minute that they decided to bring Ann Coulter on, she's controversial. She'll be good for ratings.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I'm even contributing to it to a certain degree because, the next time you're flipping across and you see Donnie Deutsch there, maybe, you will remember that Ann Coulter said the Jews need to be perfected on his show, and so you'll stop for a minute and become somehow or another a minuscule grain of sand in the Nielsen grand scheme of things that you know, umpty hundred thousands watch Donnie Deutsch.
I read my news and I listen to Head On and a couple other little stations. I watch the BBC. You know, I don't fall for that game. You know, I get my news from legitimate sources now. You know, I'm sorry, Bob.
Okay, well, you know, you're immunized then. Others,
yeah.
Others aren't necessarily.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm still I'm trying to give up the Today Show because I love Al Roker. You know.
Well, you know, we all have our bears to cross in life, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, I love Al Roker. You know, I say God bless him, but you know, as being part of GE, I'm that whole empire. I'm trying to give up the Today Show, but. Other than that, I kind of read and watch alternative news sources like Link Television, which is a very good station, if you ever get it.
Yeah, unfortunately, our cable system is very antiquated here, so no.
Yeah.
But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But anyway, that's all I have to say. I don't want to take up too much time.
Okay, no worries.
I have to vent as a New Yorker.
Okay, well, you know, and thanks for the the New York state of mind, as Billy Joel would put it. I appreciate it because we need that. We need the cross cultural thing because if we're gonna build the dialogue, the rednecks have to start talking to the New Yorkers, and the New Yorkers have to start talking to the Californians, and somebody, for God's sakes, has got to talk to the people in Idaho.
Well, you know, this is why John Edwards has a chance in winning, because I don't think Mid-America is going to take too kindly to two New Yorkers running for president, Giuliani and Clinton. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I'm going to stay away from that because I'll burn all the bridges I've just tried to build.
Okay.
Kevin, thank you very kindly, and you have a wonderful evening, all right?
Okay, you too.
Thanks for
your call sometime during the week.
Okay, and thanks for dropping by the Cathedral of Common Sense.
Okay. Bye.
Consider yourself absolved.
Bye.
Bye now. Come get your cracker right here at the Cathedral of Common Sense, the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah, I know. Must we talk to the Idahoans? Yes, we must talk to the Idahoans. We have to talk to the Kansans, too, because there are good people everywhere in this country. Yeah, don't forget the wacky Hoosiers. Thanks, Poppy. But I understand what happens with Indianans now that I've ridden a train across Indiana. You know, it's 4 a.m. comes and the sun's up like high noon. Nobody gets any sleep there. You can't come up with any... It's like, you know, French politics. Anybody who thinks that... a day can be started on a hard piece of bread and strong black coffee, you know, you're going to have some squirrely politics. Same thing with 4 o'clock. Oh, my God, I'm sleeping my life away. Let me get out and be conservative and till the earth and elect Dan Burton to the Congress. Brother. So, I mean, you see where we're going tonight. You see some of the stuff that we are, in fact, up against. We've got ministers in Alabama, in two layers of wetsuits, with things that you can't buy in Alabama, and I don't mean the National Association of Broadcasters Broadcaster of the Year Award, although, curiously, no one has found out where Sean Hannity was back in June, or Rush Limbaugh. Or the Dr. Dobson. Remember, that's the kind of crowd that Gary Aldridge ran with, you know, right-wing fundamentalists. Who knows? Where was Ann Coulter? I mean, you know, there's a list of, you know, round up the usual suspects. That's part of tonight. Ann Coulter, perfecting the Jews. But we have problems on our own side of the political aisle as well, and I've got that later on as well. I hope that I'll get to it. Nancy Pelosi embarrassed us. And I do mean embarrassed. You know, we talk about Democrats care for the working people. Democrats care, you know, it's a big tent. Come on in. You're welcome here. You can be a Democrat. We've got room for all the ideas. Well, some of all of the ideas. Oh, let's just go ahead and do this now, heading into the news. Nancy Pelosi sat down to lunch with a gaggle of reporters yesterday, Tuesday, October the 9th. You know, it was one of those rubber chicken lunches. And somebody in the crowd asked her about how pissed off a lot of us are that she won't do her damn job. And she won't end the war in Iraq, and she won't oppose George Bush on torture, and she won't oppose George Bush on eavesdropping, and she won't oppose George Bush on Guantanamo, and she won't impeach the little bastard. Because after all, you know, impeachment is off the table. Which means, as we've discussed in previous incarnations of this program, that the Constitution of the United States is off the table. Her response, look, I had for 5 months people sitting outside my home, going into my garden in San Francisco, angering neighbors, hanging their clothes from trees, building all kinds of things, Buddhas? I don't know what they were. Couches, sofas, chairs, permanent living facilities on my front sidewalk. If they were, and this is the part, sit down, you know, take a sip of the, you know, the, no spit takes, please. If they were poor and they were sleeping on my sidewalk, they'd be arrested for loitering. But because they have Impeach Bush across their chest, it's the First Amendment. What did Simon and Garfunkel sing? Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? Our nation turns its lonely eyes to you. Where have you gone, Harry Truman? What happened to the guy who said, if you can't stand the heat, stay the hell out of the kitchen? What happened to the buck stops here? Gee, Nancy, I'm sorry you have to look at the nasty peace protesters. I'm sorry that your neighbors have to look out and see a Buddha, a figure of peace. Damn, Nancy, I'm just all broke up that you're upset, that people are upset with you because you won't lift a little finger to stop the biggest, most megalomaniacal freak ever to inhabit the White House when it is in your power to do so. And, you know, I'm also sorry that that Impeach Bush t-shirt keeps you from being able to call the law and have poor people dragged off to some godforsaken hellhole. If they were poor and they were sleeping on my sidewalk, they would be arrested for loitering. Oh! Can't tell you how much that irritates me. Welcome to your world, Nancy. You wanted to be Speaker of the House. You wanted the soup, take the salad too. But because they got Impeach Bush across their chest, it's the First Amendment. Yeah, the damn First Amendment. How dare she speak in such disparaging terms of the single most important right embodied in the Constitution of the United States. Permanent living facilities on my front sidewalk. We have to make responsible decisions in the Congress that are not driven by the dissatisfaction of anybody who wants the war to end tomorrow. she threw, you know, this sort of little disparaging, you know, condescending bone toward peace activists and said, you know, they have passion, but said that it's a waste of time, those are her words, a waste of time for them to target Democrats who won't do the job that they were put into office to do, who will not do the job that they were given a majority in the House to do, who will not do the job that they were given a majority in the Senate to do. Her response, they are advocates. We are leaders. Really? Putting on the knee pads and getting down on the floor and doing for George Bush what Monica Lewinsky did for Bill is leading, is it, Nancy? Sister, you and me got a big difference of opinion on what constitutes leadership. That ain't leading. That's fearing. And you know, if you're a little bit surprised because I would say something like this about the Speaker of the House, don't be. Long before there was ever a Democratic majority in the House, I repeatedly promised on this program that I would be far harder, far, far harder on any Democratic majority than we had ever been on the Republicans. Not because it's easy and not because I can, but because, by God, we have to. We saw the tongue baths that Limbaugh and Hannity and O'Reilly and that crowd gave to Tom DeLay, the pass that they handed them. No matter what evil they did, it's good for America. How patriotic of them to take free golfing vacations in Scotland. Huh? Either we are better than them or we are the same as them. And to be the same as them is to be as evil as them. And I refuse, by God, I refuse to be as evil as them. I just refuse. Now, it is prayer meeting. And, you know, we do quite a bit of invoking the Spirit, or spirits. Some of them are 100 proof or more. And we call down hell and damnation on the Ann Coulters, and we note the self-imposed hell and damnation of the Reverend Gary Aldridges of the world. And we try to point out the difference, you, me, us, between bad and good. And you get a boatload of me. And you get lots of callers. We spend more time with callers on this program than hosts spend with a caller on any other radio format, conservative or liberal. We bring you great guests. You hear from people like Barbara O'Brien from MahaBlog.com that we talked to last night, who was just a marvelous conversation. And I hope we'll hear back from her. Folks from Media Matters, authors, newsmakers. And you hear some pretty cool music, too. So I'm going to go out with a little tune. Band that's been together for something on the order of the core of the group, 35 years. Poor working class kids coming out of South Central L.A., kids with, you know, Mayan backgrounds and Incan backgrounds and Mexica and Aztec and the blood of Spain all in their veins at the same time. You know, kids whose forebears were illegals, who grew up on rock and roll and the music of their heritage all at the same time and molded all of that into something entirely different. So we'll take a few minutes and we'll check out a band that I love before we go into the news. Los Lobos. Someday.
Someday.
This is the Quality News Network. The multinational force in Iraq, excluding American forces, will soon be down to 7,000 troops. That is down from the once 50,000-member coalition force. At the same time, U.S. forces in Iraq are currently at a peak, a surge high of 168,000 troops. Speaking to the Association of the U.S. Army, Defense Secretary Robert Gates outlined his vision of the American Army of the future today. That vision includes training foreign forces, speaking other languages, understanding other cultures, and helping others fight insurgents as in Iraq and Afghanistan. President Bush wants to give telecommunication companies immunity from the new eavesdropping law. He said he will not sign the legislation unless that stipulation is included. The legislation would allow the National Security Agency to listen in on phone conversations without warrants. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas wants a future independent Palestinian state to have its pre-1967 borders. He's calling for a complete Israeli withdrawal from the territories it captured four decades ago. The demands come in preparation for a U.S.-hosted Middle East peace conference next month. Recent fighting in Pakistan near the Afghan border has killed as many as 250 people. Pakistani army halted attacks today so that local residents could attend funerals. President Bush opposes legislation that would say it was genocide when 1.5 million Armenians were killed by Ottoman Turks around the time of the First World War. President Bush explained that bill could harm relations with Turkey, which denies the claim. Most American military supplies heading to Iraq get there through Turkey. In Turkey, a bomb thrown at a police vehicle killed five people. They were attending a large festival marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan. And Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said he was misquoted when he recently spoke at Columbia University and said there were no gays in Iran. He says he meant there were not as many homosexuals in Iran as there are in the United States. In Ohio, a 14-year-old opened fire on a Cleveland high school campus, sending five people to the hospital. He then shot and killed himself. Reports say the teenager was upset over a suspension. Columbia University has begun a hate crime investigation after a hangman's noose was found hanging on the door of a black professor. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
So what do you look for when you decide where you're going to put all your millions?
Well, I haven't printed up enough to put it in the bank yet, but I guess for convenience, and pretty much it's like a grocery market. You get to meet the people there, and you build a little rapport with some of them.
You know, it's a local bank, but it's part of a network of local banks that give you big bank services.
Everything that I need as far as banking is concerned, they have it. Online banking is great for me. So I just like the services that they offer.
You ever taken your dog Cindy to the bank?
As a matter of fact, when I went to open my account, she was with me.
Ah!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a horse come through one of these days. We got a lot of cowboys coming in and out of here, too.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
German scientist Gerhard Erdl won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry this year for his work that helps us understand how pollution destroys the ozone layer. He specifically studied chemical reactions on solid surfaces. The world's largest provider of genetically modified seeds, Monsanto, reports its fourth quarter loss grew to nearly 46%. The agricultural company partly blames the loss on a restructuring charge. United Automobile Workers Union members walked off the job today at Chrysler plants nationwide. The two sides were not able to reach an agreement on a new contract by today's deadline. And Boeing announced its 787 Dreamliner introduction will be pushed back by at least 6 months because of production delays. Deliveries of the plane will now occur around December of next year instead of May. The Boeing plane is a rival to the Airbus A380 Super Jumbo Jet. The MGM Mirage announced it will build a 72-acre gambling hotel and retail complex in Atlantic City. Light sweet crude is trading at $81.30 a barrel. Gold is at $746 an ounce. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 86 points at 14,078. The NASDAQ was up 8 points, and the S&P was down 3. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Betting Go Now, Letting Go Now, Letting Everything Go. No, I'm sorry. I guess we won't be getting that big donation from the Democratic National Committee. Because, you know, all we do here is tell the truth. And you know what the truth is? Nancy Pelosi has a problem. Nancy Pelosi has a problem with peace. Nancy Pelosi has a problem with the Constitution. I guess you could say, since she hasn't done much to stop George Bush in the way of his abuses of constitutional power, that she has a law and order problem, too. Oh, where's that sound effect when I need it? Well, enough of me. Let's go to the phones. Phil joins us from Daytona Beach. Hey, Phil.
Hi, Bob.
A little flabbergasted, are you?
Yes, and I don't know if it's my phone or not, but I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay, is that better?
Not as loud as it.
Better?
Yeah, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, sure.
Nancy Pelosi and the rest of these employees of ours in Washington need to be, I don't think, reminded. They need to be schooled that they are not leaders. They are servants. This is the thing that's made the United States different from all the rest, is that that Constitution you were talking about, Bob, you know, we the people are the first words in it.
Right.
You know, we're self-governing with a servant government. And I think the American people need to be schooled on that. We got a lot of work to do, man. I any chance I get to get on the air with you folks, and the Head On Radio Network is a diamond in the rough. It surely is a gem, because you folks offer conversation radio, you know, and that is I don't know if anyone else does, Bob. You know, where it's actually a conversation.
There's a reason, Phil, and I mean, I jokingly said I guess we won't be getting our contribution from the DNC. It's not like we go after one. But there are, they call themselves liberal, call themselves progressive. There are people out there on the air who have been drawn to the idea of political power like a moth to flame, and they have the inside track, and they can get the Pelosis on the air and get them to, you know, act like they care about what's happening, or care about the host or whatever, or they can get, you know, the Steny Hoyers or the Harry Reids or whatever
all
on the air.
Enemies of the people.
Well, they can get it. They can get
every single one of them's an enemy of the people.
But
sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. But the point is, in order to have that level of access, Phil, you have to make a deal with the devil.
Like these daggone so-called journalists, every single one of them could have prevented this invasion of Iraq in the first place. Every single one of them, and they all have the blood on their hands.
But if you want them to say pretty things about you, you got to cozy up and, you know, it's all...
Bullshit. Yeah. I mean...
I know.
You know, enough of playing by their rules. And you want to know who to have on the air? Have Cindy Sheehan, who's running for Congress. She announced she's running on August 9th.
Yeah.
And she's running against Pelosi.
I guess she's qualified for the general ballot, hasn't she? Didn't I see that press release today?
Truthfully, I don't know the answer to that question. But if she isn't qualified, people, let's get busy and qualify her.
I'm pretty sure that I saw that, and I'm looking in my email right
well,
now.
My point is, we should be keeping... forget Pelosi. Pelosi has demonstrated time and again that she's an enemy of the people.
Okay, here we go, Phil. This came from, and it was sort of a blast email. from Bob Fisher.
Yes, Bob Fisher. If do you have it, can you read his email? Because he's really been active in.
It's very short and to the point. He says Cindy Sheehan has filed as an unaffiliated candidate in the California November 2008 general election ballot versus Nancy Pelosi. By filing as an unaffiliated candidate, she does not have to participate in the 2008 primary election.
Yes. And you know what? Hopefully more people will be doing that. You know, and I think just like this news this media that lies to us and serves the ruling class and the military-industrial complex, I say stop feeding it, man. Stop going back to it, and I say stop feeding this Democratic Party. They do not represent the people, and all they do is continue to hurt the people with the people's money. And they're the ones sending the people's kids to Iraq.
I know.
And they're the ones who are taking away the people's health care for these kids, the people's kids. Damn it, stop. Stop sending them money. Stop giving them attention. And find alternatives. You know, give up the damn cable TV. Stop paying these corporations to propagandize us, and start taking that $50 a month you spend on cable TV and go to that PayPal button on the Head On Radio Network website or you know, put a check in the mail, whatever. And people, we've got to get beyond talking about it. We've got to start doing it.
Well, you know, the people that are apparently, I mean, it's not all the emails. It's not all the phone calls to Nancy Pelosi that's pissed her off. It's that she's got peace protesters on her front sidewalk in San Francisco in what is apparently a very Tony neighborhood.
She's not, and that's why I say these people are the enemy. These people are the enemy of the people. And she is a participant in treason against this country by obstructing the process of impeachment and by willfully refusing to have honest, clear, aggressive, transparent investigations into the criminal activities of this administration, and she is also an accomplice and party to treason by continuing to take the people's money and give it to this criminal enterprise that has been, prosecuting an illegal war of aggression, which is it's the same damn crime that the Nazis were convicted of at Nuremberg in 1945. It's a crime against the peace. That's what those Nazis hung from the nooses for, not for killing the Jews. They were convicted of a crime against the peace, which is an unprovoked war of aggression on another country that did nothing to us. And we have done that, and Pelosi is actually a participant. She is actually a party to that crime. She's a war criminal. I'm not a lawyer, but if somebody can please explain to me how she isn't, I want to hear about it.
Well, Phil, Bush is a war. Bush is a war criminal. Colin Powell is a war criminal. Condi Rice is a war criminal. For all I care, the people who voted to invade Iraq are war criminals.
They're party to it. But these politicians, who, like you said earlier, Bob, have the means to stop this. They were given a mandate by the people that they're supposedly working for. That's
70% of the American people want it over.
Well, you know what? And you know what the missing link is, Bob?
What?
The American people. The American people are not used to working. They're not used to, I mean, we...
Well, I know that, and that's why I pointed out what I did a few minutes ago. It's not the emails to Nancy Pelosi. It's not the phone calls to her office. It's not the, are you a constituent? What's your zip code? It's not that, Phil. It's the people who are setting little Buddhas up on her sidewalk. It's the
right.
people who have moved in and refused to leave until something happens. And that's a microcosm of what I've talked about all along. And that is, you can take 1 million, you can take 2 million, you can take 10 million people to Washington, D.C., and you can protest and sing Kumbaya on Saturday, and you're gone on Monday, and the Congress knows, okay, they're leaving. They'll be gone by Monday, you know, because
yes.
they got a mortgage.
But if you're camped outside their house, you're actually participating in a government of, for, and by the people. That government of, for, and by the people means the people got to participate, man.
Yeah.
You know, and
by the people. By yeah, the people.
Exactly, and the, you know, God, if once again, this is code pink out there in front of Pelosi's house, you know, and, you know, it doesn't cost any money, women listeners, to join Code Pink. They have Code Pink Girls for Peace. You know, there's, damn it, you gotta, you know, there's some real... people out there been taking the lead for 5 or 6 years now, waiting for the rest of us to join in. And you know what, Bob? We're still waiting for the rest of us to join in. And
We're smart people, Phil. We really are, and we're committed people. We're caring people. She is right when she says we're passionate, but see, that's damning with faint praise. Oh, they're passionate. It's kind of like the wingnut that we had on the other night. You know, these peace protesters, they're all acting from emotions, not from logic. Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Pelosi. We can't all be Mr. Freakin' Spock, okay?
Well,
some of us are passionate about it, and it comes from our brains, but the movement to stay with it and go after it and hammer on it comes from our hearts, and there's no harm in that. But
forget harm, it's a responsibility, Bob.
I know, but work with me here for a minute, Phil.
Yeah.
These folks who are outside her house, I think, have figured something out, and it would be something that the rest of the peace-oriented and the war community needs to figure out. Maybe we don't need 1 million people in Washington. Maybe we need 20,000 people in Washington, but they never go away, and we rotate in and we rotate out. Any union activist, any organizer who's ever had to put on a strike, these folks walking outside Chrysler plants right now can tell you that it's not the same guy 24/7 outside the plant. You rotate your protesters in, you rotate them out. We need to learn to do that. You know what? If she doesn't like it on her sidewalk, guess what? Harry Reid needs them on his, too.
Well,
Steny Hoyer needs them.
You mentioned that because Anthony St. Martin, if I got another, I subscribe to his email. People, please go to pledgetoimpeach.org. And his latest email, he's the fellow that out in California, his latest email is to organize a picket line in front of Washington, calling for impeachment, where that is, again, different from, you know, the 500,000 people on a Saturday when no one's there, you know, and it's a big rally. This is just like, UAW on strike in front of Chrysler. You have a continued picket line, and like you said, you rotate it, you know. This stuff isn't new.
Somebody's there at 3 a.m. and somebody's there at 3 p.m. And if you could
do the same at, and people, Code Pink has been, they're already set up for crying out loud. Just
and you know what, Phil?
Up with them.
Think about it. If that happens, and I'm not talking about huge numbers, started out with 100, started out with 500, started out with 1,000. If there are 1,000 people in front of the White House or in front of the Capitol, and those 1,000 people are always there, you know what? It'll be 10,000 before a month's out. Before 2 months out, it'll be 100,000. That's how you build the million people who don't go away, is by showing the dedication and the commitment of the first handful that does it. And they're there at 3 a.m., and they're there at 3 p.m., and they're there at noon, and they're there at midnight. And they don't go away. And they stay in public space.
Yes.
They don't sit in or sit down or do anything to deliberately get themselves arrested. They do everything in their power to not get arrested, because it's the perpetuation of the protest that matters.
Yes, and this is all, it's not just a right, Bob. It's a responsibility.
It's a duty.
You know, our country has been stolen, you know, and the Democratic Party has been stolen. These Republicans and the Democrats do not, they're enemies of the people. They have demonstrated it time and time again. They are criminal, and they're parties to the crimes. This is not a political thing, man. This is a criminal thing, you know? And Code Pink, what they do in Washington, they have a house, and what happens is Code Pink members from all over the country might take a, you know, their vacation time or a long weekend, and they go to Washington, and then they get right to work. They go into the hall, you know, the hearing rooms there, and they participate, you know, and they demand to be admitted into those hearings with these congressmen and senators who are our employees, damn it. And they speak up, and they have, you know, they get arrested when they shouldn't be arrested, you know, because these bastards in there work for us. If anyone should be thrown out of those hearing rooms, it should be the damn congressmen and senators and the ones that are should be getting questioned. We got to take it back, Bob. We can't wait for 1,000 other people to be there. We got to be one of those 1,000, man. If you're listening and you're not, if you're not given 2 or 3 hours a week in your local community to work to get your country back, man, I got to have a hard time looking you in the face, you know, in accepting that. I don't mean you, Bob.
No,
you're on this program every night, for crying out loud. But I'm talking to the listeners.
Yeah, but I'm not in front of the White House.
No,
I'm not.
But neither am I. But I'll tell you what, I'm out in my community. And every Thursday night, I go to the Code Pink anti-war demonstration. And not only do we hold signs, but we print up flyers and we hand them into the cars when they're stopped at the red light. Because we got to do more than hold up signs. We got to inform our fellows, and every day that we're not doing it, every day that we're waiting for someone to come save the day, or some honest politician to come along, is another day that people are dying in our name, and our soldiers are committing genocide in our name because we haven't stopped it.
I know.
I mean, that's the truth of the matter.
No, that's the end of, yeah, that's the, that really is the beginning and the end. That's the alpha and the omega of the whole darn thing.
It's on us, man. You know, to get real people, the people in Washington are enemies of the people now. They're not, you know, the job description is public servants. But that's not what they're doing.
Not public rulers, not public leaders.
Get rid of them.
I know.
CindyForCongress.com. CindyForCongress.com. Let's start, you know, we already know Pelosi's an enemy of the state and enemy of the people, and we've got to get rid of her. So every day and every dollar to the opposition is crucial. And you got a choice. Keep... you know, you got a choice, man. Every day and every dollar is so important right now. We got to get past analysis and commentary and shift more of that energy into action. I'm talking about the listeners, Bob.
No, I understand. I understand, Phil. Phil, I appreciate it. Thank you for everything you bring to this program.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
And I know you are out and you're doing and you're going and you're being.
There's no excuse why the listeners... everyone listening can't give a couple few hours a week in their community, you know, and give up a couple of cups of Starbucks coffee or what have you, or a pint of ice cream, and instead of that, spend it on a ream of paper and some ink toner and print up some damn.
Yeah, let's make something abundantly clear here.
Yeah.
I include the Democratic presidential candidates in this. Because if you give your money to Senator Clinton, Senator Obama, just about any of the others, with the exception of Dennis Kucinich, you're not giving your money to the to ending the war.
No, you're participating in a genocide, and shame on you if you do. Shame on you if you do. If anyone watched that debate a couple weeks ago, Clinton, what's the other guys? Obama and they all said they couldn't guarantee getting the troops out by 2013.
By 2013, Phil, for the love of Christ, that's 5 years from now.
If that doesn't demonstrate to the, I mean, these guys are, they have no shame, Bob.
If you can't get, if you can't get the troops out of Iraq by 2013, you can't walk and chew gum at the same time, and you have no business occupying the White House.
Oh, they're walking and chewing gum just fine. These people are smart. They're not incompetent. It's just that they're serving the war, the military-industrial complex. They're enemies of the people. They're sending the people's children to these wars of imperialistic wars for the corporations. I mean, let's call it what it is. These people are not incompetent. Iraq was never a mistake, and it was never the result of incompetence. This is exactly as the PNAC had planned.
It is.
We got to start calling it for what it is. And these, Hillary Clinton has been she was the anointed one right from the get-go. And Giuliani is the fallback. But they're both the military-industrial complex's chosen ones. You know, and they'll give 8 years to the Democrat, and they'll give 8 years to the Republican. Just look at our history.
Indeed.
Just look at our history.
Well, Phil, thanks so much. I appreciate it. You know, I think of you down there holding the sign, protesting, handing out the flyers, trying to inform the people, talking to the people in the grocery store, talking to the people at the post office.
Yeah, I was there again today.
And it inspires
me. I brought 30 flyers, Bob, and I left with nothing in my hands. You know, today I brought 9/11 truth flyers because let's get real, people. The ones who, the PNAC people were in on 9/11 and get past this, what are people going to think? Am I a conspiracy theory? Bullshit. They did it. And if you can't see it by now, get on Google and look into it and find out for yourself. They wanted this war in Iraq. They wanted, you know, they spelled it all out in their document, and they were the ones in charge of defense on that morning of 9/11. And they, you know, the only way those twin towers could have come down were explosives. The only way those hijacked planes could fly around for an hour and a half was by having a military stand down of the fighter jets, and the only ones in charge of that were the PNAC guys, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Myers, Assistant Secretary of Defense was Wolfowitz. The whole Iraq permanent bases, further invasions of Iran and Syria are all in the PNAC plan. People, we got to get real with this. We got to stop worrying about being called goofy because we're talking about it. It happened. They did it. And they're still in the White House, and they're following their plan, which is moving on to Iran and Syria and a police state here at home. And they ain't going to stop on their own volition. The congressmen and the senators that are serving them ain't going to stop them. It's on us, man. We're the only ones that could stop it, and there's no one else to pass this off to.
Well, Phil, I've got another caller waiting, but yeah. Thank you for everything. And
thank
you,
Bob.
I appreciate it, and you know, glad
involved, people.
Glad to know.
Get active.
Glad to know I'm not alone in being a little bit disgusted with what Mrs. Pelosi said.
We should be, and we should be throwing her out on her ass, man.
All right.
Grabbing her by her ear, throwing her down the street.
Now, see, you'll get a visit from a guy in a dark suit and a skinny tie with a thing in his ear if you say that.
And I'll call him a traitor to the country, too, because he probably took an oath to the Constitution, and he's not following it. I'm tired of being intimidated and feared. You know, the only way you stop a bully is you face up to him.
Indeed. Indeed.
You know?
Phil, take care. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye now.
Thanks for the horn.
Sure. My pleasure. Our pleasure. And onward to our good friend Albert calling from far Wisconsin. Hey, Albert, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How are you today?
Yeah, you know, my lumbago's let up a little bit, and I'm feeling much better.
Well, you know, just to kind of reiterate a couple of points that Phil was saying, we shouldn't, you know, like, the government should be afraid of us. Then we'd have a representative democracy. But we don't, and that's the sad thing. It's not even so much it's, I think, people are afraid of the government. They're just afraid of losing their lifestyle. And I think that's part of the realization that in terms of if we want to foster change, and if we want to, you know, change people's minds, there's a lot of things that we're going to have to do in order to help them and assist them with changing their paradigm in terms of where we're going to be headed in the future. You know, like, yeah, you know, it is part of it to understand, you know, about PNAC and their, you know, Project for a Numeric Century and their, you know, they need a new Pearl Harbor and, you know, all this, the military standard, all that stuff. That stuff's important to understand, but we also have to even kind of get past that and get beyond that for looking at the real reasons that we're doing this. You know, I you got Nancy Pelosi, you got all these people. I mean, yeah, they're traitors to the country. They want to have a.
But they've got a flag pin, Albert. They've got a flag pin.
Yeah, that's actually the only thing I've respected Barack Obama about, is when he said about how he didn't need a flag pin to show that he loved the country. And that's part of it. I mean, you remember, everybody remembers.
I keep expecting maybe to see Rudy Giuliani come out in an Uncle Sam dress, Uncle Sam suit. Okay, pathetic attempt at humor there, my bad.
I'm just looking forward to his day of being on the coroner's table wearing an American, couple American flag wetsuits and an American flag beep up his beep. Anyway.
Now, see, you're going to get the visit from the guys in the dark suit with the skinny guys and the thing in their ear, too. And I'm going to get the visit.
Let us know if they ever do. Actually, but here's the thing. I think they already know who we are. And I think the thing is, you know, you can kind of, you know, I'll tell you right now, NSA guys, you know you're listening to us, and if you are and you have no soul, you have no conscience, you've heard me on the phone with my mother, you know what we talk about, you've heard me on the phone with all my friends, you know what we talk about. You know, so if you're going to come, if you're going to listen to all that stuff and then still come, what are you? You're a direct enemy. You're an enemy of the Constitution. You're an enemy of the American people. So you can come to my house. That's fine. You can come to my house in the middle of the night. I'm always up. I'm up all day long, up all night long.
You're a parent.
Bring them on.
You gave up sleeping when you gave up sleeping when you became a parent.
Pretty much. I mean, but you know, they can come and. That would just prove the point. You know, if they ever did anything like that, that would just prove the point. You know, so there's a lot, you know, they have more to lose by, you know, kind of doing that. And that's one of the other things that, you know, like the better we get at pulling oil out of the ground, Bob, the faster we're going to run out of it. You know, like, in their impotence when they come to...
I've never seen a heroin addict who was able to be judicious in their use.
Yeah, well... Yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh no, no doubt about it. We're addicted.
The more heroin there is, the more heroin the addict buys. Same thing with oil.
Oh yeah, indeed. And you know, I know I'm not one to, you know, I mean, I haven't been perfect in my life in terms of consuming oil, but every time, like now that I'm aware of every way that I use oil. And, you know, like I hear people all the time in my local stuff, oh, we've got hybrids, we got this. Well, you know what? Hybrids isn't fixing anything, okay, because you're still consuming gasoline, and it still costs petroleum to make the damn things. It actually costs more petroleum to make a hybrid vehicle than it does to make a normal gas guzzler.
Don't break my heart. I want a hybrid.
Bob, I hear you. Trust me, brother, when I tell you, I read those facts, and I'm just like, man, what the hell are we doing? We're just sitting here wasting our goddamn time going after a hybrid vehicle, you know, because we, and the thing is they get it on us, they get us over on this stuff with, you know, because we want to have change. People buy these vehicles, they spend more money because they want to do better for the environment. They want to feel better about their lives. But the reality of it is they have nothing to actually feel better about. You're not going to be able to, I mean, we have sucking chest wounds and Band-Aids, you know, with SpongeBob SquarePants on them is not going to fix it. Okay, we have to do some serious surgery. We need to do some serious paradigm shift here in this country. We are not going to be able to eat salads from 7,000 miles away anymore. We are not going to be. I mean, they complain about the, you know, the illegal immigration and the Mexicans coming over here picking tomatoes and all this other stuff. You know what? You're going to be lucky because that's still going to be the job that we're going to have in the very near future. Once oil starts getting to this point to where a tomato costs $6 to $8 a pound, I mean, gas is already, it's $3.30 in my neighborhood. Now, I live away, a little bit away from the, you know, the population area, but nonetheless, it's still, you know, it's still up there. You know, it's still $3 a gallon for gasoline.
Yeah, and milk, but wait, milk is almost $4. Because they got to get the milk here because we don't have any local dairies anymore. I don't know where my milk is produced. I know it's coming from a cow that's been jacked up on the bovine growth hormone and really scary, icky crap.
Here's what you do, Bob. You don't buy it. I don't. No,
no, there'll be a riot in this house if I don't buy milk.
But hang on. Wait.
Dude, we have a 2 gallon a day habit.
I understand, but think about this for a second. What we have to do to the American people is what you have to do at your house to convince your family that spending money on these hormones that Monsanto pumps out is worse than anything. You'd be better off buying a filter, you know, and just drinking water. And I understand, I totally understand. If you can't find an organic source, now I happen to be lucky, I'm in the organic mecca for dairy products and stuff like that. Where I live is right in the organic triangle, right in the middle of it. Okay, so I can get the milk in the glass bottles that's grass-fed, that has cream on the top of it. I can get all that stuff. I still have to.
Oh, that's like food porn, Albert. Stop it.
I'm sorry. It's real. It is here, and it's available. You have to find it, or you have to. But the thing is, you're going to pay for it. Now, that's where this whole thing comes down the line. We're going to have to pay for it. And how I look at it is, you can pay for it now, or you can pay for it later when you're not going to be able to afford it. You know, like, I understand, you know, like, I have two little daughters. You guys all know that. You've heard them yell and scream and talk and be cute.
We love them dearly.
As I love all the children. But I will not give my girls, okay, because they're girls, okay, and I will not give them a product that contains hormones in it which are made to make cows' mammary glands bigger and produce more. I am not messing with the biological mechanics of my children like that, especially the fact that they're females, okay, and sensitive to the female hormones that are in the milk. So that's one thing you can look at and say, you know what, we don't need this. Not only that, milk is a, if you start reading about what the dairy stuff and how these big corporate farms are, I don't see how you could want to consume it.
Oh, they're standing midway up to their legs in cow poo with the udder stimulators or whatever, you know, milk drawing thingies on them. Yeah.
Yeah. They're up to their, not only that, they pump some full of growth hormones and all this other junk that their bodies grow too big and they start to split. Their flesh splits. Now, that's, you know, it's like...
All right, I got an acre. I'm getting a milk cow. You win.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Get a milk cow. Get some chickens. Before they outlaw it, you know? I mean, it might as well. Have some goats. Don't mow your lawn. Have a goat. Have a goat. Goats get milk, and goat milk is good for you. You know, but the thing is... This
well, no, I mean, I'm not kidding. That's one of the things we've gotten away from, and I'm sure it's as the same story could be told a million times over in Wisconsin. But here in here in Wild Wonderful, this place, you know, the mansion sits on an acre, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That acre, once upon a time, produced 2 beef steers a year,
mm-hmm.
a hog, had a year-round chicken coop, a humongous garden, and bear in mind, it's not like my grandmother who lived here. It's not like she was a farmer. The woman was teaching school full time.
Yeah.
My grandfather was selling cars. Okay. Mm-hmm. They had jobs they had to go to and still managed to make this happen. And that's as recently as 1960.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's 47 years ago. Now that, okay, it's a half a century ago. All right. It doesn't seem that long ago to me. It can happen if people want to learn how to do it.
It certainly can, especially now. I mean, just to kind of, I just want to bring that little point up, is that in 1960, whatever they brought home, X amount of dollars, was far more valuable than what we're bringing home. And they used that, right? Your grandparents did that, and they were able to raise children and
This house had a bookshelf just about covering every last little bit of wall space, except for the place where the portrait of Jesus hung, okay? And there were books, and there were so many books that they overflowed out into the barn where the car was. There was one TV and I guess it maybe came in 1955 with a screen that was about 12 inches. I mean, you know what those things looked like. But there were, you know, there were no computers. Obviously, that goes without saying. A lot of the stuff that we have, they didn't.
Yeah.
And yet, I get a sneaking suspicion that in many ways they lived a hell of a lot better than I do.
Well,
you know, this is,
you know,
I can drive 2 miles. My father used to, and this is, you know, this is not the trip down memory lane. It goes to exhibit a point. I can drive 2 miles, and I can go, and my father took me before he died. And he showed me these places that he'd been telling me about all his life. And he told me about how when he was a little boy, he dearly loved Pa Davis, who would be my great-grandfather, who was a coal miner. And, you know, 8-hour work day, yeah, that's if it was slow. Okay? Pa Davis had a smokehouse. Pa Davis had a garden. Pa Davis raised a hog constantly. And on Sunday mornings, my father, as a little boy, and this would be 1930, would, holding Pa Davis's hand, walk into the smokehouse, and he'd say, "What do you want for breakfast?" And always hanging there was a rack of hickory-smoked pork chops, and there was a butcher block in the middle of the room. And he'd point at those, and there was bacon, and our good friend Nanette is in the chat room. She can probably echo a lot of what I'm saying. But he'd point at those chops, and he'd cut him off an inch-thick hickory-smoked pork chop and take it in and hand it to Ma Davis. And Ma Davis would fry it up in the skillet with a couple of eggs and some homemade biscuits. And, you know, that was my father's vision of paradise. And you would have thought he was talking about a guy who had a house sitting on an acre. We drove down there, Albert, and he showed it to me. And the plot of ground and the house where Ma and Pa Davis lived still stands. And it was a coal company shack, Albert. And there wasn't enough yard there to throw Frisbee in, because it had wind up in the creek that was right there at the foot of the base of the hill that was hard by the backyard. But still, there was a smokehouse. And every available inch of that ground did something for that family.
And, you know?
But we can't be bothered with that now. But it is so possible.
Yes. That story perfectly phrases and frames what I'm trying to say. That's where we're going to have to go back to. We're just going to have to. I mean, and it's going to be something that, and I think the only thing that the problem here is that we've lost so much knowledge of what to do and how to do it.
Wait, Albert. We haven't just lost the knowledge, my friend. We've lost the will. We've lost what my forebears would call the gumption. Okay?
Yeah.
Because if you're going to do that stuff, I'm sorry, there's no time for staying up late, you know, to catch Colbert. There's no time for staying up late to catch anything, because you are dedicated to doing those things and you realize that those things matter. I don't know, maybe I'm cutting my own throat. Maybe there's no time to sit around with me booming out of the speakers either. But that's the beauty of radio. You don't have to sit and watch it. You can listen to it while you're doing something else. The pressure canner can be howling along, making sure the green beans that don't have rat's heads in them are sufficiently pressurized and heated to make sure that there's nothing else in it that'll kill you. And meanwhile, you're screaming at the speakers, "Amen, Bob, testify, brother." You know, because it's radio. Because during the time that I'm telling you about all this stuff going, there were radios. And there were radios that were on, and maybe it was the ball game. Maybe it was the Reds coming off of WLW in Cincinnati. Maybe it was Jack Benny. Maybe, but things were getting done, and that's an entirely separate subject. Screw the television. No, there's time for me, because I'm not asking you to sit and stare at me. I'm not asking you to be passive. We're not asking anybody to make us the center of their existence. Our good friend Scott and Linda up in Massachusetts tell me that they listen every night while they're cooking dinner together in the kitchen. You want some family values? By God, there's some family values.
Amen, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, TV's dying. People will always probably have it because they'll always want to watch a movie. Even if they're talking about, when we have to switch our lifestyle to match what the vision that you're laying out, you know, like that whole concept. That's the beauty of the internet, is because now I can listen to you. Like if I just had the radio, but what you're doing in terms of radio, the internet now is our next. It's our next framing of what the technology that consciousness is creating. See, now, like back in the day, where, yeah, you could listen to the radio, but there was way less you could do to get involved. Now you can listen to the radio while I'm out feeding the chickens, and I can have a speaker out there, and I can listen to the radio over the internet. I can listen to Bob, still do my work, and if you say, hey, you know what, you people need to sit here and contact your congressman, so on and so forth, da, 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 da. Not only that, I can sit there and I can go onto your website, find the link, so we can even be more interactive. The internet is, the potential for it, in terms of, you know, of saving us, is... It's just unbelievable.
Are willing to be saved, Albert.
Well, that's why I kind of have that, you know, we talked a couple times ago, and, you know, I said, you know, it's probably going to have to get a lot worse before it gets any better. You know, and I'm sad to say, every time I turn around, it's, you know, even though I don't know anybody personally, I don't know one person that has sat there and told me, yeah, we got to go for Hillary. I have heard one person, not one, tell me. The only thing they say, oh, well, yeah, Barack would be all right. But they always say that, and I'm not trying to sound racist, but they always say that, yeah, I'd like to see a black president. Or they always say anything positive about Hillary, I'd like to see a female president. And you know what? Hey, that's all great and good, but that's a little too politically correct.
Hey, we've got our first female speaker of the House, and she's useless as tits on a boar.
No doubt. No doubt. It's down the
line. You know, we're going to have our first woman president. Yippee! Hey, why don't you ask the liberals how they and progressive and decent and right thinking people in the UK how they felt about Maggie Thatcher?
Exactly.
Old beast.
And she was a hideous brat freak until she had her little war in the Falklands. You know, and she's still actually, isn't she one of the lowestly rated British?
She was poisoned.
Yeah, she's a horrid. And that's the that's what it is in a sense, you know, like even though the police state in England is far more progressive than it is here, with all their cameras everywhere and, you know, like...
Can't have a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook.
Oh, they got some serious, they have some serious civil liberties issues going on over in the United Kingdom right now. And, you know, it's like that's their whole thing. It's just as the Labour Party has completely and totally stalled out and has totally infiltrated this Big Brother system over in England, I look at the Labour Party like I do the Republican Party. I mean, not the Republican, the Democratic Party. But the problem is like, we continue, like, and I keep, oh, well, if Hillary gets in, I hate Hillary, but I'll hold my nose for her and vote for her. No, hell no. Hell no. Hell no. No way. No, none of you people do that. Don't sit, you even dare compromise and sell yourself out.
Now, wait. Whoa. Because I got a problem now.
Well, hang on. Let me finish my thought.
Okay.
And then you can sit here. Because here's the problem, okay? We sit there, we hold our breath, we do that, and what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Everything that we're worried about right now, just as everything that we were worried about in terms of the Patriot Act and everything else, everything that we were worried about Hillary Clinton right now, okay, about what she's going to do in terms of Iran and in terms of civil liberties and in terms of continuing this militaristic, military-industrial complex war of imperialism, okay, everything that we're afraid of in that respect will happen. And we will sit there and go, oh,
up, and that's even if she even does it. What was the last time we did that? It was with Kerry, and what did he do? Now, I know it's not a giant homogenous unit, okay, but the thing is they seem to act this way nonstop. They'll be real tough, they'll talk some nonsense about, oh, we have to hold Bush accountable, and then they get the office, and what happens? Oh, it's off the table. Oh, I'm going to make sure every vote counts. We go and fall for it, and what happens? Now, you know what happened. Nothing. He sat down that night, okay, and what did they do? They sold us down the river. And this is the thing. We are voting. We are doing these things, but we have to stand up and stop getting sold crap. This is the problem. You can hear about, you know, rat's heads and green beans, but if you keep going buying that, who cares? They don't care.
If you keep going and buying the green beans, you get the rat head, and why are you surprised?
Exactly, and that's what I'm trying to say. We have to sit here. I'm not saying not to vote. Everybody better go out and vote, but you better not vote for that person. Write in someone else. Put someone else in. You don't have to sit here and take what they're telling us, because we're going to do nothing but sell us out again. They're going to continue to sell us out, and then we're going to cry about it. And then they're going to tell us whiners, and they're going to say the loser liberals can't get anything done. You know, well, because we keep going into this pack mentality, and they've got us corralled. They've got us divided. They've got us, and they're going to conquer us. And that's the problem.
Gonna? Gonna?
They are. Well, that's what I'm saying. We
did, have, done, been, got that T-shirt and washed my T-shirt, my shirt, my car with it last week.
And that's what I'm saying, Bob. How many times do you have to go out? You know, if you go out with me and I slip roofies in your drink every night and you wake up with a aching backside, okay?
For you, Albert, you don't have to do that.
Thanks, Bob. But just honestly, though, seriously, you're going to sit here and, I mean, we gave them a mandate. We gave them a mandate. And I'm pissed off now because I'm not really getting to think about it. We gave them a mandate, and what do? They lay down, they lay on their back, they spread eagle, and then they just tell us to give us more. And that's nonsense. It's total bull. I mean, I'm going to curse you because I can really freaking lay them out, but I'm not going to. But seriously, we already did that, Bob. We already held our nose and voted for them with hope. We did. We gave them the House. We gave them the Senate.
Well, what do you... Okay. I mean, look, brother, you know, I'm in the choir. I'm on the page, okay? I mean, we're, you know, blow the pitch pipe. I'm there. What the hell do we do in November 2008? Stay home?
We write in Dennis Kucinich. That's what we do. And we sit there, we write in Dennis Kucinich, they're going to go, holy shit, look at all these people voting for him. We need to totally revamp our style.
But 2004, Dennis showed up on the podium at the Democratic National Committee and said, you must vote for John Kerry.
Yeah, I know he did.
Now,
I bought it, but I'm not buying it again. And you know, that's the thing.
Are you ready for 4 years or maybe 8 years of people asking you if you're real proud of that write-in for Kucinich? Now that we got President Giuliani, President Nosferatu.
Yep. Because you know what? It's not simply. You know who my party won. I got the World Series ring for 4 years. It's not about that. Okay. It's about maintaining and upholding our Constitution. It's about sitting there. We keep talking about this where people go, Oh, well, I don't have time, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have that. You know why? Because you have this illusion that you still do have these things. And you have this illusion that your life is sustainable under this guidelines. And I and anybody who's thinking that can see this kind of stuff sits there and says, this is not the road we need to go down. But you know what? If Hillary loses, and even if she wins, it's going to be the same deal. It'll be the same deal. It'll be a little different flavor. The curtains will be different. But that doesn't change the overall picture. Okay, that doesn't change. Why are we in Iraq? Why? That's what you have to ask. Why are we there to begin with? Okay, why? Why do we have to fight over these resources now? Why? Okay, why are we sitting there not putting anything into alternative fuels? Why? Okay, and now the thing is, I'm talking about viable. I ain't talking about hydrogen and all this other garbage that, you know, really isn't going to do anything. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about we need to really, like, have Manhattan projects for alternative energy, right? Now, they're not talking about that. We need a Manhattan project for health insurance, okay, and health care in this country, okay? And then, no, they're not talking about that. They don't want us like that. If you've seen Michael Moore's Sicko, you heard what Nixon said. I don't want any of that health care crap. And then he comes out the very next day. I laid out the health care initiative to make all Americans have health care. You know that if we got the tapes of Reagan, of Bush first, of Clinton, and of this Bush, if we had the tapes, there would be no need for an election this come around. They would be completely annihilated. We would be up in the millions of people. If we could actually sit here and listen to this stuff, now that's another problem. We need transparency in government. We can't have this crap where, oh, well, we're going to lock the presidential records for 25 years. We can't have this anymore. We need we're in an age of super information, right?
Yep.
Right? Back in the day, right, you know, like, yeah, your grandfather, he'd work in a, you know, coal mine, he'd do his all this stuff, and he had all this work to fill his day. Okay, now we have this age of super information, right? You can learn more in a week than your grandfather could learn in his lifetime, okay? You have more information at the tip of your fingers. See, the thing is, back in his day, he could wait, just like he could wait for a nice hickory-smoked pork chop to cure correctly. He could wait for information to come out about what Roosevelt had knew and did not know about Pearl Harbor. Okay, he could wait for that kind of stuff, even if he was even interested. Okay, but today we don't have that luxury, right? And this is why everybody sits there and they want it now. They want a solution right now. Well, I'm trying to say these are solutions we have at our fingertips. We have to demand not just the end of Iraq war. We have to demand transparency in government. Okay, we cannot have this, oh, well, it's national security, blah, blah, blah. We can't have this anymore. We just can't. Everybody's got nuclear weapons. What are we worried about? Okay? If we had transparency in government, let them know where we stand. Right?
Yep.
Let them. Annihilate these conspiracy theories. Annihilate them. Let them. The only way we can do that is by putting sunshine in. Now, that's the thing. We need to demand that kind of stuff. Now, out of all the Democratic candidates, which one do you think would do it?
Only
you know which one.
One or two, and one of the two is absolutely, utterly insane.
Yeah.
And that's Gravel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But,
hey, Albert, I got to roll on though because the phone bank's getting a little jammed here.
All right, Bob.
Love these conversations, my friend.
All right, love them. Talk
bye
to
now.
You later. Bye.
Say goodnight to the girls for me. And we'll come back out of the news and go to your phone calls. Couple of lines open if you want to jump in. You know the number, 304-658-5453, or on our nickel, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. This is the radio that you build. This is the radio that's independent. This is independent media in its purest, most honest form. This is the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I was a child, my family would travel down to western Kentucky where my parents were born. And there's a backwards old town that's often remembered so many times that my memories are worn. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. Well, sometimes we travel right down the Green River to the abandoned old prison down by Adrian Hill, where the air smelled like snakes and we'd shoot with our pistols. But empty pop bottles was all we would kill. And Daddy, won't you take me back to...
This is the Quality News Network. Just hours into a United Auto Workers strike at Chrysler today, an agreement's made. We'll have details in our business segment. Blackwater may be phased out of Iraq, according to the Associated Press. The State Department is reportedly limiting its use of private security firms in light of recent incidents, including killings now under investigation. The multinational force in Iraq, excluding American forces, will soon be down to 7,000 troops. That's down from the once 50,000-member coalition force. At the same time, U.S. troops in Iraq are currently at a peak, a surge high of 168,000 troops. President Bush wants to give telecommunications companies immunity from the new eavesdropping law. He said he'll not sign the legislation unless the stipulation is included. Legislation would allow the National Security Agency to listen in on phone calls without warrants. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas wants a future independent Palestinian state to have its pre-1967 borders. He's calling for a complete Israeli withdrawal from territories it captured four decades ago. The demand comes ahead of a U.S.-hosted Middle East peace conference next month. A Thai-based human rights group reports on its website that a pro-democracy activist has been tortured to death in Myanmar. The Group Assistance Association for Political Prisoners said authorities told the family of 42-year-old Win Shwe that he died in interrogation. Recent fighting in Pakistan near the Afghan border has killed as many as 250 people. The Pakistani army halted attacks today so that local residents could attend funerals. Turkish leaders are reportedly preparing to ask their parliament for approval for an incursion into northern Iraq to go after Kurdish rebels. The government says attacks and violence near the border by PKK members is mounting with little resistance. President Bush opposes legislation that would say it was genocide when 1.5 million Armenians were killed by Ottoman Turks around the time of the First World War. President Bush explained that bill could harm relations with Turkey, which denies the claim. Most American military supplies heading to Iraq gets there through Turkey. A U.S. federal court judge has temporarily blocked efforts to crack down on illegal immigrant workers and employers who hire them. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway, carmel.com.
German scientist Gerhard Erdl won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry this year for his work that helps us understand how pollution destroys the ozone layer. He specifically studied chemical reactions on solid surfaces. The United Automobile Workers Union has reached a tentative agreement with Chrysler this afternoon after workers walked off the job this morning. Union workers are being notified to show up to work for their next shift. Today, that same union, the UAW, ratified a new four-year contract with General Motors. The agreement came out of a similar strike that ended September 26th. The new contract covers about 74,000 General Motors employees. Boeing announced its 787 Dreamliner introduction will be pushed back by at least 6 months because of production delays. Deliveries of the plane will now occur around December of next year instead of May. The Boeing plane is a rival to the Airbus A380 Super Jumbo Jet. Chevron warned investors that its third-quarter earnings would be significantly below last quarter when the oil giant earned a record $5.4 billion. Gold is currently trading at $746 an ounce. Light sweet crude oil is at $81.30 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 86 points at 14,078. The NASDAQ was up 8 points, and the S&P was down 3. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, don't light up all six lines. Don't make me feel all popular and loved. It's okay. I'm kidding. I got a bunch of blinking lights and we're going to get through them. Assuming folks stay on the line. You know, other talk shows people stay on the line for 3 hours. Me, I don't get to you in the first 2.5 minutes and you hang up. But that shows how how anxious you are to engage in the dialogue, how anxious you are to engage in the conversation. And it pleases me all the way down to the cockles of my heart. Truly, it does. 14 minutes past the hour, because I've got a clock. You know, this is an atomic clock. This is just isn't any clock. I know, man, I know exactly what time it is. Only problem is there's a little bit of latency in the internet, so whatever time it is here, it might be a minute or so later wherever you are. But I've got 8:13, 34, 35, 36, and that's exactly what time it is. And because I've got an ugly little streak of obsessive compulsive running through my nature, I'm really, really happy with that. Let's go to the phones. Susan is calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. If people want to learn about things like growing their own food or their own cattle or stuff like that, I suggest they check out Foxfire. They were published quite a while ago, but they're still in print. I think they're going to be in print forever. Check out Amazon. Also, the reason I really called,
okay,
is, does it strike you as strange that in all of these debates with Democrats, nobody has asked any of these Democrats to say, when I get in office, I will pledge to restore the Constitution to what it was?
Yes and no, Susan, because the media elite, you know, our betters, the six-figure journalists, I'm not talking about the real journalists who work, you know, out there in the trenches, but the inside the Beltway crowd, the people that get the phone call to show up on Meet the Press and such, they don't think there's anything wrong with the Constitution. They think the Constitution is just fine because in their world everything is just fine. The gated community is nice. The lawns are well watered. The car payments made. The mortgage is ahead. And, you know, their local Whole Foods or whatever fancy-ass grocery store they go to has all the groovy stuff that they can afford to buy, and they don't understand why we're not organic. So, I mean, does that make sense? They think everything's okay, so they're not going to ask anybody to do anything like that. It would take a wild-eyed radical. Now that CNN YouTube debate, you think that question wasn't asked? You can bet your bippy that thing was asked. The single most popular question on that debate wasn't asked. And it was deliberately not asked. And it had to do with impeachment. So, you know, I mean, that kind of is that question, restoring the Constitution, you know, putting impeachment on the table for criminal presidents. It's the same kind, it's the same thing, isn't it? That was the single most voted on, preferred, frequently asked question. Didn't make the cut. Because, you know, we don't want to embarrass them. And we don't want these guys to have to actually say that they believe in the Constitution. We don't want them to have to say that, you know, that whole impeachment clause actually means something. And, you know, you wouldn't want to ask Mrs. Clinton, Senator Clinton, about it, because Senator Clinton, you know, that might bring up some ugly memories for her. Even if that impeachment was a bunch of bug spray. Okay? Hard to swallow, isn't it?
Yeah, because it needs to be asked. This is a question that needs to be asked, because if these people are not willing to put the Constitution back to the way it should be, they don't need to be in office.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Now, I'm constantly calling congressmen and senators saying, all I want you to do is save the Constitution. Yeah, it's like everybody is going on and on and on
But again, if you're a member of Congress, Susan, and you make $140,000 a year plus whatever you can shake out of the various and sundry political action committees, and you have, excuse me, the best socialized medicine that a government can provide, and your retirement is a lead pipe cinch, and you won't be able to spend the money of your retirement before you shuffle off this mortal coil. Again, I submit to you, the Constitution doesn't need saving, because the Constitution is doing by them just fine.
Yeah, but by the same token, if all of that is holding true, and the only thing that could threaten it is the lack of a constitution where somebody hauls you out of bed in the middle of the night and puts a bullet in your brain.
Now, there we go, talking about bullets again. But, no, I understand what you're saying, but they don't see that.
Or tortures you.
Because whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, or a Democrat or a Republicrat, it's not about the Constitution. It's not about any of that. It's about maintaining the status quo. Okay? And as long as the status quo doesn't impact you, it doesn't matter how many phone calls you get from your constituents. It doesn't matter how many the postcards you get.
I think I need to go watch V for Vendetta again.
Well, it's refreshing, but again, ain't gonna happen. Yet.
There's always that. Agent Fred, please pay attention. Yet. And perhaps the people in government should pay attention to that yet. Because if they keep it up, sooner or later, it will. They should think about that.
Yeah, and lots of poor people will die.
Yeah, but lots of poor people are dying anyway.
Because remember that, I mean, this is the history moment of the program, Susan. The American Revolution was started, as all successful revolutions must, by what the French and the Russians refer to as the bourgeoisie, what we call the middle class. Okay? Revolutions initiated by the poor never succeed. And I mean never with a capital N, and I know people say never, say never. I'll say never on this one.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
You know, this is one that's going to remain true. It's going to remain true. And the people who ran the American Revolution were also to a large extent upper crust intellectuals. Mm. We do not have a single member of Congress with the brain power of Thomas Jefferson or John Adams or James Madison. Not one.
Not even Kucinich?
No, not even Kucinich. Not one. Because, you see, our political system negates the possibility of a person with that kind of brain power entering government.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are people who think that they are modern-day Madisons and Jeffersons and Adamses and so forth, but they are, as the saying goes, legends in their own mind. There are people every day who tell George Bush how confounded smart he is.
Oh, God.
Now, okay, and here's the part where I'm going to get screamed at in the chat room by the Clinton haters. You know what? Closest thing to somebody as smart as Jefferson
was Clinton.
Was Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Okay. LBJ wasn't that smart. Nixon wasn't that smart. Carter wasn't that smart. Ford wasn't. God knows Reagan and Bush weren't. John Kennedy probably was. FDR probably was. And those two are perfect examples. The FDR was called a traitor to his class, and the Bush family tried to put together a coup that would have removed him from office during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Had Prescott Bush had his way, FDR's body would have been dumped in the Potomac. And that's not speculation. That's not hyperbole on the part of some wild-eyed radical liberal talk host. That is historical fact.
Yeah. FDR was the best friend his class ever had, because if it weren't for FDR, there would have been a Russian-style revolution, and his class would have gone down into the dustbin of history.
It would have gone the way of the Romanovs.
Exactly. He was what saved his class.
But still, you get my point.
Oh, yeah. That these Republicans will not admit that if it weren't for FDR, they wouldn't be here.
Newt Gingrich thinks that he is the equal of one of the founders of this nation, Susan.
Oh, good God.
Well, I use the word thinks. I should have used a little more advised language. Newt Gingrich deludes himself along those lines. Who else? Rudy Giuliani thinks he's a genius.
Yeah.
But, no, they're not. You know, everybody, oh, Milton Friedman was a genius. Well, you know, A, he wasn't in government, and B, he was crazy.
Yeah. He should, you know, that's just... The people who dreamed up the Constitution were just flat-out geniuses, and we need to save that, and the only thing we can, the way we, the only way we can do it...
They were hard-working geniuses, Susan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a two-part process. Unexercised genius is quite possibly the most useless thing on the planet.
Uh-huh.
It's the genius who's willing to stay up until 4 in the morning that gets things done. You know, read.
Exactly.
The language is a little stilted. That's the way it was at the time. Read the Federalist Papers.
Oh, I love them.
You know, Alexander Hamilton, you know, what a nasty, nasty person he was. But read the Federalist Papers, and you see that they were earnestly trying to hammer out their differences and make a government that could last and that would... I know, the leftists will say, oh, they were doing was protecting the property interests of the moneyed class. Rah, 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 rah. But you know what? It was the closest thing to freedom that poor folks had ever known.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that they didn't have to be a serf, so designated, or a peasant, or a peon. That you could cross the mountains, and if you could work the land, literate or no, you had a chance of being, A, left the hell alone, and B, an old person, or as old as the mm-hmm. age would allow you to be.
Would you like to hear something that'll make you cry?
Several already have, but go right ahead, yeah.
You know I listen to Randy Rhoads, right?
Yeah.
She had a caller.
Oh, is this the soldier?
No.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
This is another soldier.
Okay.
The soldier made me cry, but for a different reason. This guy called up and said he was so brainwashed that he felt that it was okay that Martin Luther King was assassinated because that was the way, that was what was needed to make us safe.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so did he go on to say that he was over it?
No. Uh-uh. He still, Randy didn't even take him apart. She just literally couldn't believe what she was hearing.
I don't know how you respond to that.
How can you actually?
I mean,
here
in the stack of stuff that I have a rat's chance in the canning factory of getting through. I've got the story of the noose story. A noose found hanging on the door of a Columbia University professor.
Yeah.
Of course, she happens to be African-American.
Uh-huh.
Jesus.
However, the age of miracles is not past.
All right.
Alabama has elected its first openly gay person.
Just now, I thought they had a lesbian member of the legislature. I had her on the air a year ago.
Or at least that's according to the email that I got from Gene.
Yeah, I'm looking at it too. And okay, you got it. Okay, it's how the headline's phrased. First openly gay man.
Yeah.
You know, we can't get away from the misogyny. There's been a gay woman in the Alabama legislature for over a year now, unless she resigned or something. But, you know, we get a headline at page 1Q because it's the first openly gay man. He's the second gay person in the in public office in Alabama.
But you got to admit, that's pretty close to being a miracle.
Well, yeah, it is. let's see. But see, he's got a seat on the Board of Education in Birmingham. This woman is in the legislature.
Mm-hmm. But anything.
So, you know, yay for him. Yes, definitely. I'm not trying to in any way denigrate his accomplishment. But
Yeah, I didn't hear about the legislature. I thought that I didn't know about that.
That may be pre you. That may be before you you joined in our little escapade here. But yeah,
before I joined the merry band of pranksters.
With due apologies to the original merry pranksters. We got no bus and we got no acid.
Yes, please don't require me to start taking acid.
I'm retired too, Susan. Don't worry.
I'm weird enough as it is. I don't really need.
Yeah, I don't need the help. My reality is bizarre enough as it stands.
Yeah.
But
anyway, I shall let you go. But I am going to continue to keep asking.
You know, this is no reason to quit calling.
Oh no! I'm not going to quit calling, and I'm going to keep asking on blogs and stuff on these candidates' blogs. Are you willing to pledge to put our Constitution back in place the way it was written?
You might want to be a little bit more specific. Are you willing to, mention some things like habeas corpus, which, you know, is actually in the Constitution?
Yeah.
Yeah, do stuff like that. And I agree wholeheartedly. Make them at least know that you're paying attention.
Yeah. I still haven't gotten an answer back from the Edwards campaign about mountaintop removal. So I'm gonna have to goose them about it again.
Well, they'd really rather not.
Well, that's tough. I'm going to goose them again. Anyway. Oh, and by the way, message to Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like what's going on? Guess what? It's gonna get worse.
Well, you know, it's easy enough to make the protesters go away. Start trying to end the damn war.
Yeah. Real simple.
At least come out and state publicly that impeachment is not off the table.
Yeah, do your job.
But the snideness, the snarkiness of, you know, if they were just bums, I could have them hauled away to wherever they take the bums.
Yeah.
But because they've got a T-shirt on that says the impeach Bush, it's First Amendment. Like all of a sudden she just despises the First Amendment.
Yeah, she is going to be hearing from me tomorrow.
Good. I don't know. You know, maybe for the people who are camped out there, I don't know. Maybe we could deliver her, a million jillion signatures saying we'd be there too if we could, Nancy.
Oh, that's nice. Not a bad idea.
I have one every now and then. Susan, take care and have a wonderful evening.
You too, and love to Agnes.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon.
Bye bye.
Bye. Oh, let's see. Hey, who have I got?
You got Joe Vecchio.
Hey, Joe Vecchio.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Great conversation there about the founding fathers and what they would have wanted. You know, and you know, when I was researching my thing on the Electoral College, I learned a lot more about it. It's just remarkable that the entire country was created like that out of just simply discussion. I mean, Alexander Hamilton didn't have an army outside Philadelphia. John Madison didn't have an army out. James Madison didn't have an army outside of Philadelphia. John Thomas Jefferson. None of these people. It's just we're gonna argue it out. We're gonna talk it out, and we're not gonna agree with each other, but we're gonna reach compromises that we can live with.
And we're not gonna go out and duel over it. No.
Yeah, exactly. Until Aaron Burr later on, but that's another story.
Yeah, and that's because Alexander Hamilton was a dirty mouthed little SOB. But yeah, never mind.
But, you know, the thing about it is talking about protecting the rights of the property owners. What a lot of people don't understand is back then, it didn't take a lot to be a property owner. If you had a strong back and could work an acre of land, they would basically give you that land in order to work it. I mean, it didn't cost a ton of money. It wasn't, you know, they weren't trying to withhold it from people. So, you know, when they say, well, they only gave the vote to property holders, well, property holders were a much larger share of the population back then because of that. So.
Yeah. I'm reading a Gore Vidal novel called Creation. It's quite interesting. I've read it before, but given it a reread. And there's a line in there by the narrator who says, he has very little regard for the Athenian democracy. He says, everybody who's got two horses and an olive tree considers themselves a noble in Athens. And so it's a little bit like that.
Sure.
If you had some property, you know, you could vote. And while there were a lot of non-property owners, several of them considered to be, three-fifths of a human being,
mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of inequality, no doubt about it, there was a lot of skull sweat that went into the Constitution. It's a revolutionary document.
Yeah. And it had its basis on several other kind of revolutionary documents. But then these were the sharpest political minds of their time. And, you know, behind it all was the fear of being conquered. I mean, the British certainly were interested in recapturing lost land. The French had interest there. The Spanish had interest there. So, you know, they could have very easily, if the country had not been formed, just been defeated in detail. You know, the French taken one part of it and the British taken another part, you know. So.
Yeah.
I just wanted to call in and just let people know I'm still out here, even though I haven't been on the air for a while. I'm still kind of struggling to get some semblance of a life together. I did want to talk to you at some time or another concerning, you know, when we're going to switch to the new schedule, but that's not something we can talk about over the air.
Right.
That's cool.
Well, you know, I, among other things, I want to give your schedule a chance to settle down and sort of solidify and gel and make sure that, you know, wherever we talk about the Cup of Joe returning to is, you know, fine and dandy, and it won't interfere with your attempt to have an ongoing, real, live, honest-to-God life.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but we want. God knows, I can't wait for you to get back because I think the show is going to grow and prosper and flourish even more when we, you know, and folks, it's no big secret. The plan is to have you and John, instead of having you separated and sort of ghettoized in the early morning or in the morning hours, to put all of the Head On Radio Network programming together in one smooth flow that begins at 3 p.m. with Guy James and on Mondays and Fridays Dr. Bill, and let it roll through Mark Levine, me, Peter Godbold, you, and John.
Right. I think that's a much better idea, and it's much better for you too, because it doesn't break up your day as well.
Yeah, my day's bizarre enough. It doesn't need poked with a sharp stick.
But, you know, I had an idea, and this is something I had discussed with my new... Now, I do have kind of sort of a part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
It's working for a photo lab inside the Merchandise Mart. And by the way, for those of you who don't live in Chicago and aren't aware of it, the Merchandise Mart is a very historic building. And when it was built, it was actually the largest building in the world in terms of floor space. But they have... It used to be a warehouse for the old Marshall Field apartment store. That was a local Chicago landmark. At any rate, now it's mostly businesses and stuff like that, but they have like a residential area, not a residential area, but they have a place for small shops, and there's a one-hour photo lab in there. And the guy who runs it is a very nice elderly gentleman by the name of Zavin from Armenia, I believe he said he was. And he's actually looking to retire. And I am debating with myself whether or not I want to buy this place from him, get a business loan, put a business plan together, get a loan, and just take the place over, because I really love the photography industry, and
yeah.
It would be nice to run my own business, because I think part of the problem I've had with my workplaces is that I am a pain in the butt to get along with sometimes, because I am very opinionated, as everybody knows.
Yeah, you?
Yeah, me? What a surprise.
Sweet little you? Little unassuming Joe? Wallflower Joe?
But there's also the fact that I have, at this point in my life, I have a very low tolerance for the BS. Okay? And I don't like putting up with it. And I've said it before, that's a failing of mine, that some people would just, you know, go with the flow. And it's just not my way to do it. You know, when I see a supervisor acting like an idiot or doing things bad, I'm just, you know, I'm going to let them know about it. Not necessarily in a public way, but I'm going to say, you know, this is just wrong. You're not doing this for the right reason, or you're doing it wrongly to begin with. And supervisors don't like to hear that. So, and I would always say, if I worked for me, I'd probably fire me.
Oh, God. Nobody's harder on you than you, Joe.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about it is, I just noticed this in the workplace where people have a different attitude about that, about that different thing. I mean, when I go in there, I make the assumption that we're there to do a particular job and to do it well and to do it efficiently. And the office politics stuff, that, you know, I don't even care about that. That, you know, I'm not really interested in that. But unfortunately, for a lot of people, the office politics is the job. That's what goes on. What actually goes on as far as production is concerned is kind of secondary, you know. Like the problem I had in my last job with the lady with the rap music. It was like, and this was a supervisor, for crying out loud. The music was more important to her than doing the job. And it just made me pull my hair out. It's like, how can you think this way? So, you know.
Yeah, I know. I do know.
So, but I'm still here, and I'm alive, and I'm just kind of, you know, like you said, just trying to get my act back together and get things. But, you know, I see a lot of things going on. I keep up with what's happening. And I'm hoping that maybe with this latest series of attacks on a 12-year-old boy and his brain-dead sister by the insane people on the right, maybe some people will really start waking up to what a bunch of thugs these people really are. I mean, I'm still skeptical. I doubt it. But it's just remarkable.
Well, I think Rush Limbaugh's learning. He didn't turn on the cam and shake like he had St. Vitus dance while he was talking about the kid this time, like he did with Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
Sleazy bastards. You know, yeah, and you know, the whole thing originated over at Freeperville.
Oh, yeah, Free Republic, yeah. Those wonderful, loving people. And I wonder if they're still purging. There was a thing about there was, if you weren't for one particular Republican candidate, they were purging you. I forget which candidate it was, but they went through the whole big thing where the guy literally went through almost name by name and said, okay, you're not for so-and-so, you're gone. You're not for so-and-so, you're gone.
Nothing like watching Stalinists in action, Joe.
Man, it's just remarkable. Well, you know, what did Nietzsche say? When you gaze into the dragon, remember that the dragon gazes also into you. They were so immersed in their, you know, communist, that they've basically become like the communists.
Well, you know, Mark Levine did a very good job of pointing out earlier this evening that we now know by virtue of what the New York Times has released. Yeah, thanks, guys. Day late and a dollar short. You know, that ought to be under the main banner now. Not all the news that's fit to print. The New York Times, day late and a dollar short.
Day late and a dollar short, much better.
The tactics that are being used, the torture tactics that we don't use, mind you, that, you know, George Bush says we don't use, the torture tactics that we use but George Bush says we don't, are a dead lift straight off of the Soviet playbook.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't Republicans. They're Stalinists.
And, you know, what's interesting is that very recently I read, I don't know if it was in the New York Times or elsewhere, but some of the people who were responsible for interrogating the German prisoners of war after World War II have come out and say, you know, this is ridiculous. I, you know, when I was interrogating people, I never laid a hand on anybody, and I would get more information out of a game of chess or a game of ping pong than you ever would. Well, there's an old story. I don't know if it's an Aesop fable or not, but it was basically the sun and the wind were having an argument about who could get a guy to take his cloak off. And the wind blew and blew and blew and blew, and the guy just tightened his cloak and moved on, and all the sun did was burn a little hotter and make the, you know, and the guy took the coat off of his own volition. And, you know, therefore the sun won. And you know, the guys who were interrogating the German prisoners of war, they did it just right. They didn't torture them. They didn't, I mean, obviously they were still in prison and didn't have the freedom to move about, but they fed them nicely. They treated them well, and, you know, they just cracked.
Well, you know, I've had little outpatient surgeries done that involve the use of some pretty wild-ass drugs. I think it's a cocktail of, like, fentanyl and something that's a kissing cousin of Valium called Versed. And you know what? You're wide awake, even though you're out like a light. And they could ask me where the old Confederate money was buried in the backyard, and I would have told them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is, you can dose these guys up and ring them out and let them wake up, and they'll never know they said a word because you can't remember. I mean, my first experience with Versed blew my mind and completely disturbed me because I lost a day. I mean, I couldn't remember coming home. I couldn't remember laying there getting worked on. And I was wide awake and utterly coherent the entire time. Now, you're telling me that if this guy is that high dollar, a high value, a target, you can't jack him up with this stuff and ring him out. And I know this, and they don't see that. It ain't about that. It ain't about the interrogation. It's not about the value of the information, Joe. These sick bastards get off on torture.
That's right.
I mean, there's not a dime's worth of difference between them and the Alabama pastor who was found self-bound up in two freaking scuba suits with a rubber mask on his head, rubber underwear on, and a buzzing vibrator elsewhere. And he auto-asphyxiated himself. There's no difference between the two. They get off on the pain.
Bob, that's the only way they get any pleasure in life is by dominating people and by forcing people to do something or just by defeating them in some way, shape, or form. And I've mentioned this before. In a smaller way, you ever notice that whenever they laugh, it's always they're always laughing at somebody else's expense. They never laugh for the pure joy of laughter. They never enjoy themselves for the pure joy of just enjoying themselves. I don't think they're capable of it. And I think a lot of it is just flat out fear. I think they're just simply afraid that if they don't do this torturing to these guys, then somebody's going to turn around and do it to them eventually. You know, if they don't rip off every single dollar there is in the world, then someone's going to come and take that.
You know, Joe, everything we do in this country is about economic development, right?
Pretty much.
I want to introduce an economic development bill in the Congress that will provide stipends for dominatrices, to tie up, beat, whip, diaper, hang from the ceiling, whatever Republican wants it done to them, and then maybe they'll just leave us the hell alone. That was an attempt at humor.
They'll only want more. They'll want two dominatrices, and then the tax rates will go up to cover it. It's never enough.
No, I don't want to dominate. I want to do it. I want to give the spankings.
I don't want to give. Well, you know, hey, I've always been in favor of setting up a Democratic organization to get Republicans late. I mean, you know. And you'd always notice that they always have to kind of do it on the sly, as they're always either getting hookers or propositioning guys in bathrooms. You know, and who was it? Was it Peter Godbolt who was talking about that, or some other guy just saying, thanks a lot, now it's going to make all us gay guys look bad, like we're always looking to pick up people in bathrooms. That's how we do things.
I know. Well, you know, consider that even right now, sex workers from all around the country are making their travel plans for what, July 2008 in Minneapolis?
Yeah, for the Republican convention. Yeah.
And I mean they will work from dawn to dusk. They will work 24/7, and they will be some of the most exhausted hookers on planet Earth when that convention is over. And I mean, they're going to have to bring the rubberware and the whips and the chains and the little nurse costumes and the French maids and the toys and the this and the that, and they are going to be plumb worked out. I mean, half of them will have to file for workers' comp from sheer exhaustion after the Republicans are done with them.
Only they had a union.
Some of them do. Hey, Joe, good to hear from you, buddy.
Bob, nice to talk to you as always. Take care. Keep fighting the good fight. And as soon as I know something, you guys will know something.
Okay. You be back soon.
I will definitely be there.
All right. Later, Joe.
Bye.
We'll continue on. And let's see. I want to share a quick email from you, for you, with you. What the hell? I love stuff like this. Hey, Bob. Listening online from New Zealand, love the show. Think you're being light on Hillary Clinton. My gut tells me she's not a nice woman. I have a feeling also there should be some sort of law to say close relatives can't get into office for a few generations, because it seems like nepotism when they do. I also can't believe that smart American people can't figure out a way to remove its so obviously stupid leader. My 10 cents worth from Dave in New Zealand. Thanks, Dave. Now, that's the thing. The smart people have figured out how to remove him. It's the dumb people who won't do what the smart people want done. By smart people, I mean you, me, us. By dumb people, well, you know, let me quote Mark Twain. Suppose you were an idiot, and suppose you were a member of Congress, but I repeat myself. Okay, back to the blinking telephone lights. Oh, dret. Let's see, okay. Hey, who have I got?
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Luke.
What's going on in the world?
This and that.
Crazy?
Pardon?
Just the usual crazy?
Yeah, just the stuff that makes me curl up in a fetal ball in the corner after the show and suck my thumb. Yeah.
Well, you heard the thing about this thing about the 12-year-old, the one that was in the thing.
Oh yeah, the swift boating of a 12-year-old. Great going, guys.
Well,
classy bunch.
Where they think this is? Where some of this is coming from?
Freeperville.
Apparently, some reporter got an email straight out of the office of Senator Mitch McKinless.
No.
Oh yes. On some of this, so they're wondering if this is Mitch doing this because he knows next week they're going to have a vote, and Mitch is torpedoing anything he can. So we'll see how that works out.
He really is. He's an evil. Dick Cheney looks evil. Mitch McConnell just looks stupid.
And then you got.
But no, he's evil too.
Who sort of combines the best of the worst. Or the worst of the best, or the worst. It's hard to tell which way that goes.
Yeah, see, that's why I just default straight to evil.
This is true. Well, you're sitting there going, let's see now. On radio, we have what I figure is a fellow who, in our state, and I know our state's not as bad as Florida, that apparently he had enough pills on him, we could get him put away for drug dealing 20 times over. And he's allowed to stay on the air. In fact, I don't even think he had to go down and talk to anybody. They came to his house. And this guy's sitting there, and he's attacking a 12-year-old on the air. It's like, can we call the FCC and see if they can do anything about child abuse?
I know. But, see, that's why there's a double standard. The American people expect Republicans to be sleazy and filthy and do this kind of stuff.
Well, you remember... they were talking about this thing, you know, apparently that Malkin and some of these have like published the names and their phone numbers. You remember a few years ago they got Coltergeist for doing that same thing. Remember she was having an argument with somebody in L.A.? Oh, I can't think who it was. Lydia Cornell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And published
and
her
she published
home
her...
and office phone numbers on the web.
Right.
I mean, isn't this real nice? I mean, you know, maybe we should publish if somebody knows it out there, maybe we should publish the gate code to Russia's Palm Beach mansion.
Wouldn't that be fun?
You know, we ain't saying anybody should do anything. We're just going to publish the code. If somebody wants to go by and say hi, hey.
But, you know? Yeah, at the front of the show, I had the latest Coulter outrage declaring that Jews should be perfected.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and there I am guilty because I ran it too.
Well, but it's one of those things sometimes with her, you just got to figure it. You know, it's like I say, I'm pretty much an agnostic. But you know what? Every once in a while, you got to figure there's got to be some power, either higher or lower, because the fact that lightning hasn't got her yet.
Now, see, that's what makes me an agnostic. If there really was a just God, she'd be covered in soot by now. Just, you know, straight out of a cartoon with the hair standing out. Yeah,
high heels and a whole lot of ash on top of them.
I don't know. Maybe the heels have rubber soles or something, and she's just grounded or something. I don't know.
Keep bouncing off of her. Well, what was this thing last night with Rudy? 23 times we've been attacked by terrorists, and it's been stopped?
I have in my hands here the names of no less than 1,000 known communists.
Did you hear where he said, I reduced taxes 23 times? I'm sitting there going... Did he see the movie with Jim Carrey, this one, 23, and now he's got 23 on the brain? You know, it's like, dang, come on, try something. You know,
well, see, he couldn't say 22, because then the obvious comparison to Catch-22 would be...
It's true. Well, it wasn't interesting last night that every one of them wanted to cut out. I mean, God, it was like a fight of who could cut more taxes. And you're sitting there, okay, guys, now how are we going to take care of the debt and run the country?
Well, we're
going to say we ain't going to collect a penny in taxes.
We're going to declare that there is no debt. We've got a faith-based initiative to make the debt go away.
You know, it's one of those things. It's sort of like, you know.
What, Luke, is there somebody out there watching these clowns going, yeah, that's my guy?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. You know, it's like they keep saying that, you know, there's a, what is it, Bush has like a 30% baseline, you know, that ain't going to go below. It's like, I want to meet these 30%. But unfortunately, they won't let me into the asylum during the daylight hours.
Well, that's like the Iowa numbers. You know, Mitt Romney's at 29% and Giuliani is at
18%.
But see, I mean, they say 23%. I think there's actually 100 Republican voters in Iowa right now. And 23 of them want Romney and 18 want Giuliani. And
because, I figure they're going around and just polling the people that aren't working.
You know, way back when in West Virginia, Luke, we had what was called our small claims court was something called the Justice of the Peace system. And the JP court, the way you got a jury there is the litigants had to pay a fee into the court, and the court would then hand out money to a sheriff who would go into the bar next door and get six drunks at $10 a pop. That's what the polling data is for the Republican candidates right now.
It's like we went down to the waterfront. Everybody that was conscious, we asked.
Go look under the bridge and see if they like Romney or Giuliani.
Once you can get them where their eyes will stay open for more than 5 seconds.
Yeah, here's a couple of cases of Wild Irish Rose and some straws. Good luck.
I didn't send you all the stuff, but did you like the story I sent you about our fun local county commission meltdown?
Oh, yeah, it's a carnival in Knoxville right now.
And the thing is, it's almost like the, you know, they threw the eight out, and four of their people they appointed, and they're essentially all wanting to do a redo. Yeah, we're going to do this again. This time we'll do it all out in the open. Blink, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Precisely.
And we're sitting around going, you know, they're just going to turn around and try to nominate at least some of the same eight people again. And we're like, oh, come next November, there's going to be a house cleaning like you ain't seen.
About the size of it.
I mean, it's going to get to the point. It's like, who's the fellow that takes care of the dogs and cats? Well, he's going to be gone too, because we ain't leaving nobody in office. You know, two or three people said, we want the election. They're going, no, you can't have one.
No.
but like I said, let's put it this way. They found a way around here that we got a chance to at least say is we are going to have some teeth to the sunshine law.
Big, sharp, nasty ones, I hope. Hey, Luke, I got to roll along. We're done at the end.
Time.
Take care. Bye now. Our good friend Luke in Knoxville, Tennessee. They are. It's zany down there. I think they're going to start throwing cream pies at each other or something in the county commission there. Last little bit of information before we go, something that's kind of inspiring. I love to see people doing the right thing. I've told you about the nurses' strike in Beckley at Appalachian Regional Healthcare hospitals in Kentucky and West Virginia. This out from the United Mine Workers. The strike by nurses at the Appalachian Regional Healthcare Hospitals in Kentucky and West Virginia is a clear signal to hospital management that these healthcare professionals are willing to stand up for better patient care for the communities they serve. This is directly from the desk of Cecil Roberts, International President of the UMWA. I want to make it clear that the UMWA stands in 100% support of their fight, and we will do anything we can to help them win. Many of their patients are UMWA members and their families who have relied on the care they get from these hospitals for decades. We want to be sure they're getting the best care possible, and it's clear to us the best way to do that is for the hospitals to stop forcing these dedicated professionals to work mandatory overtime and instead hire more staff. Because it's worth remembering that the overtime laws that organized labor got passed in the first place, they weren't meant to make people pay overtime. They were meant to make employers hire more workers and put more workers to work. That's what's going on at the hospital. They'd rather just, you know, work a nurse till she drops over in her tracks. Mr. Roberts says, I am especially offended to hear about management's use of replacement nurses, let's call them what they are, scabs, and hired security guards at these hospitals. Many of these facilities still bear witness to their UMWA origins with photos of John L. Lewis and other UMWA members on their walls. It is outrageous to John L.'s memory for scabs and hired security guards. He said guards, not thugs. I said thugs. He said guards. To be paraded in front of his image. Good on you, Cecil. Good on you. Love it when I can find folks doing the right thing. So that's it for tonight. Thanks for joining in. Up next, Strictly Confidential with the world's most fabulous conversation radio host, Peter Godbold. Thanks, many thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer and musical director, musical consultant. Thanks to Peter Godbold, our IT consultant. Thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, the hardest working man in liberal talk. If you value what happens on the horn, you value the hard work of Ben Birch. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
The Quality News Network. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas wants a future independent Palestinian state to have its pre-1967 borders. He's calling for a complete Israeli withdrawal from the territories it captured 40 years ago. The demands come in preparation for a U.S.-hosted Middle East Peace Conference next month. Shelling continued today in an area of northwest Pakistan where battles between troops and militants have killed as many as 250 people. The last 5 days of clashes in the north Waziristan region near the Afghan border have been the deadliest in more than 6 years. U.S.-led coalition and Afghan forces captured a major ammunition cache in the Zabul province of southern Afghanistan earlier this week. 100 RPGs and more than 150,000 rounds of machine gun ammunition were seized. The London Telegraph reports that the tables have turned in what was once Iraq's most dangerous province. Anbar locals are now identifying or turning in al-Qaeda operatives, pointing out hidden weapons caches, and cheering on U.S. troops. Congressional Democrats have decided to wait until early next year to fight to bring the troops home from Iraq. House Democrats say that they'll not debate the $190 billion the military says it needs to fund the war through September of 08. Not until January, that is. A U.S. federal judge has blocked the U.S. military from sending a Guantanamo Bay detainee to Tunisia because of allegations he'd be tortured. Human rights groups are calling the ruling, quote, unprecedented, end quote. In her op-ed in today's Wall Street Journal, First Lady Laura Bush is calling on Myanmar's military junta to, quote, step aside, end quote. In a rare step into foreign policy, Mrs. Bush called General Thanh Chui and his deputies, quote, a friendless regime, end quote. China is being condemned by Reporters Without Borders for its internet controls. The organization says the Chinese censorship is an insult to online freedom of expression. Iran's president...